I'm Sarah Warmby. A high fire danger remains for most parts of Queensland following a string of major bushfires that have destroyed homes and significantly damaged others. Stay informed messaging remains active for a number of suburbs in the Gold Coast hinterland still under threat from the Saribah fire. The Bureau of Meteorology's Olivia Regano says conditions remain extremely volatile.
It's still a tinderbox. We're basically living on the edge of our seats now until it rains, and it doesn't look like it's going to rain anytime soon. We just have to hope that the wind doesn't spring up.
Meantime, overnight weather conditions have worked in favour of firefighters battling two blazes in northern New South Wales. The fires in Drake and Red Rock have been downgraded to advice, but people are still being warned to be alert. Independent Senator Jackie Lambie wants young Australians to be called up for duty in emergency services across the country to boost volunteering rates and fight climate change. Senator Lambie has told the Sunday Age she wants a Senate inquiry to help find new ways to expand the ranks of volunteers to tackle forecast climate emergencies of droughts, fires and floods. Two people are dead, but a child has escaped unharmed following an incident in a car outside a property in Melbourne's east. A block of flats in Nunawading was taped off by police last night. A woman has been found dead inside a vehicle while a man died a short time later. A child who is believed to have been in the car was not injured. A new study hopes to dispel the myth that lymphoma is not as serious as other cancers. The survey by Lymphoma Australia found nearly 70% of respondents thought it was a good cancer. More than 60% were unaware it is a cancer. Lymphoma Australia Chief Executive Sharon Winton says it's one of the most common cancers in the country.
It is the number one cancer in the 15 to 25 year old age group. It's the third most common cancer in children, and it takes as many lives each year as skin cancer.
Also in news, industrial manslaughter laws will be introduced to the Northern Territory government in its September sittings, and thousands of Western Australian students affected by computer glitches during their NAPLAN writing test have been given a chance to have their highest test score recorded. Overseas, Zimbabwe's late long-standing president Robert Mugabe has been given a state funeral held at a sports stadium ahead of his burial. Dozens of African heads of state and diplomats from around the world were in attendance as Mugabe's coffin arrived to the stadium, flanked by military officials and relatives, including his wife, Grace. President Emmerson Mnangagwa paid tribute.
A giant tree of Africa has fallen. Comrade Robert Gabriel Mugabe is no more. Taken away from us, the people he fought hard to free.
Briefly, US President Donald Trump has confirmed the son of Osama bin Laden has been killed. Singapore's air quality deteriorated to unhealthy levels for the first time in 3 years, threatening to deepen a regional dispute over forest fires. And a gang of thieves have stolen an 18-carat solid gold toilet from an art exhibition at Britain's Blenheim Palace. This is Air News. Manly have secured a win over the Cronulla Sharks in the NRL elimination final. It's a season ender for the Sharks, who went down 28-16. The Sea Eagles will now take on South Sydney next week in the semi-finals. Coach Des Hasler says it will be a tough match.
I think we'll need to be a little bit more disciplined. You know, I think it's going to be a tough game next week, but now we're sort of playing on the back of a bit of momentum. It certainly helps. And we'll need to be, because they'll be hurting a little bit after their loss. So that'll be a tough game.
The Sharks' loss also marked the end of the playing career of Paul Gallen after 348 games.
It's been a long career. You know, I really enjoyed the past few years. You know, the success, making the semi-finals every year, obviously winning a premiership with yourself. And then on top of that, a little bit of disappointment throughout the year that was. You know, we showed so much promise this year. We had a terrific roster. We showed what we can do in patches throughout the year. But unfortunately, our year just wasn't consistent enough.
The GWS Giants are through to the AFL Grand Final qualifier after an 83-80 victory over the Brisbane Lions. The Giants will now play Collingwood next weekend in the Grand Final qualifier. England have reached 8 for 313 at stumps on day 3 of the 5th Ashes test, where they hold a 382-run lead and are on track to draw the series. And wins for Canberra and Sydney in the National Rugby Championship. Australian Independent Radio News.
the Big Sports Breakfast Grand Final Lunch is on again. Join your host TK and Loz in the Grand Ballroom at Royal Randwick Wednesday, October the 2nd. The fun kicks off at 12:30 when your Master of Ceremonies, Dave Stanley, welcomes you to enjoy a gourmet three-course lunch, five-hour beverage package, and to rub shoulders with royalty of the NRL and racing world. The midweek Randwick meeting will be in full swing, as will the Sky Racing Tipsters, who'll be doing their best to send you home a winner. Tickets $195 per person, available at australianturfclub.com.au.
Our customers love having a local shop, but I need more funds to help keep my shelves stocked.
When you're ready to grow your business, you should call OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. OnDeck Group has lent over $10 billion US dollars to over 80,000 small businesses globally. Get approval in hours and funds in your account as early as the next business day. At OnDeck, we say yes to small business. So for a loan to help you get ahead, apply now at ondeck.com.au. All loans are subject to lender approval.
Dynamic Syndications, Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott have a filly with fabulous looks by Lonro. Champion three-year-old, champion miler, horse of the year and champion sire with 83 stakes winners. From Mona Leisha, a city-winning two-year-old, our filly is a half-sister to four winners, including Group 3 place Billy the Kid. Join our Dynamic Gay and Adrian team in this lovely Lonro filly at $12,925 per share. Visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360808.
Every 8 minutes, an Australian is diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. Being overweight and inactive significantly increases the risk of developing type 2 diabetes and other chronic conditions. Walking regularly is the best exercise because you can easily build it into your daily routine. So let's get walking every day. Friday the 4th of October is Diabetes Australia Walk to Work Day. Join the walking class and learn more at walk.com.au.
NRL finals flipped on its head as the underdogs prevail.
Everest hopeful Arcadia Queen, the real deal.
The Queen of the West, Arcadia Queen, two good in the Theo Mark.
The Giants win a thriller at the Gabba.
The Giants are through to a brilliant final.
Australia battle to save the fifth test, but the Ashes are coming home.
Australia retain the Ashes.
And now, overnight scores, expert comment and controversy on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Here's Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Really working a treat, isn't it, what we've instituted at the start of this program, Ray? I know how you love talking about that sort of stuff, don't you, Raymond? Good morning to you, mate.
Good morning, James.
Great start to your Sunday morning.
Yeah, and looking forward to this afternoon for the fourth of the final series. Hasn't it been an epic opening round of the finals? And of course this afternoon, Parramatta Eels.
Are Parramatta playing, are
taking
they?
Taking the Brisbane Broncos.
You would never know. Producer Tanya there, it's got the Parra jersey on. I think it's the 2019 version too.
Brand new one.
There we go. Just to clarify, you are going out to Bankwest Stadium, Ray?
Yes, correct.
Right, okay. Well, we do look forward to that game. It's going to be fantastic. We've had a couple of upsets.
Paid my way, James.
So I believe. Couple of upsets, although if we go all the way back to Friday night, wow, what a 40-minute performance from the Roosters.
Roosters. Flawless, wasn't it?
Absolutely flawless. I saw Coach Robinson yesterday. He was out at Leichhardt Oval watching the Roosters' Jersey Flegg side that won in extra time against the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs. And I said, what did you make of yesterday? And he said, yeah, we were really good.
Fair enough.
what
do you make of the Rabbits then? Because I saw Wayne Bennett's press conference afterwards and he told his players at halftime, look, this game's gone. Get something out of this second half we can take forward into next week. They can effectively come away and say they drew 6-6 in the second half with the Roosters. Can the Rabbits rebound from that, given they were absolutely thrashed in that first half?
I think the inclusion of Sam Burgess is key. They will play against Manly now. We presume that's out at ANZ Stadium. We'll try and work out exactly what day that is, but that's going to be huge. And Sam coming back into the side is...
massive difference.
Because it's not just Sam. It's the confidence he gives everyone around him too. So I think that's going to be important as well. In saying that, Marty Tapau is back for Manly as well. Maybe Morgan Boyle.
It was a great win by Manly. Before we get to that though, Jimmy Jarrow, Rory Hargraves has his regular weekly trip to the judiciary.
Did you see on social media last night, they had had NRL judiciary in this underground car park, and then it had reserved for Jared Warrior Hargreaves, which is a little unfair.
What chance for him playing the prelim?
Oh, was it a trip?
It's hard to
now, say. Can you give up your link to Jared Warrior Hargreaves here, please, just for the benefit of listeners?
Is it? Family link, yeah.
There's a family link, yeah. Yeah. It's on Tanya's side of the family, isn't there? There's
so I hope he gets off, obviously.
Yeah. So, yeah. I'll ask you the question again, Ray. Mm. Was it a trip?
Probably. I hope he gets off. I hope he gets off. You want to see the best
Are you the witness for the prosecution
no,
or
I'm not
witness
go
for
there.
The defence?
What do you think?
It's a trip. So the problem with that is he's been fined 3 times already this year. You can't accept the fine again for a tripping, so they had to charge him.
Is it 1 game?
Early guilty plea means 1 game. He might fight it and get off. I don't know that he will, but one thing that the Roosters have done all year, and they've prided themselves on this one, is next man up.
Correct. Yep.
Next man up. Okay, forget about who's not here. Next man up, do your job, and that'll be into the starting side. So you see why Taukeiaho, not a bad replacement.
Fair enough. On that theme, Desi Hasler, masterminded what really was an incredible Manly win last night, 28-16 over the Sharks. It was a patchwork Seagull side, and they were fantastic, Jim.
And they had two standout players. Adam Fanua-Blake was superb up front.
And their halfback.
Their halfback
DCE.
Is clearly the best halfback in the competition. 13-53-53 for all the haters out there. And haters going to hate, Ray.
Yeah, he was brilliant last
By
night.
The way, great to have Taylor Swift coming to the Melbourne Cup. But haters going to hate. But he is clearly the best halfback in the competition.
He was brilliant. And what did you make of the Raiders doing it again in Melbourne against the Storm?
All right, you and I need to get through this very clearly and concisely. Okay, it's incredible what happened to Joey Leilua before the match.
Yes.
And it's the most unusual thing where the rules don't allow for a free interchange around that, because it was completely beyond the control of the Canberra Raiders. So I agree with the fact that they should look at that immediately, the NRL, about how you make sure that they don't lose an interchange for that. Beyond that, they were under pressure for 80 minutes, the Melbourne Storm, weren't
they? The Raiders were fantastic, weren't they? They should have been a lot further in front at half time.
I think it's the best I've ever seen Aiden Caesar play. We know the quality that is across the park, especially from their Englishmen. I'm just looking at the ratings in the paper today. Somehow John Bateman got a 7.
He wasn't a 9.
Oh, he played well.
But even though the Storm were under pressure the whole game, aren't they amazing how they fight and they fight and they fight and they just don't go away, do they, the Storm?
They're amazing. Okay, let's find out your thoughts on that final try to John Bateman.
We've agreed to disagree on this, haven't we, James?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So you're okay with the ball coming out from Josh Adokar.
Yep.
That's all play on.
Yep.
And then at that point, what happens, Ray?
Well, I slowed it down because I said, was that a knock-on? You said no, and Sorba said no way.
Right.
I went back and had a look at it, and I thought, I've misread this. But Joey Leilua was facing his goal line, so his back was to the attacking try line where it eventually scored.
Yes.
The ball's come through, it's touched his finger.
Yes.
Then it's gone onto his leg.
Right.
Now,
you're saying
it's a knock-on.
It's a knock-on. So you think it should have been pulled up for the knock-on?
It's pedantic, but I've seen a lot, you know, things pulled up for that all the time, and especially with kicks for in the in goal and that sort of thing. So
I thought he had his back probably to the sideline as
that.
Much.
No,
did
he
you
was,
check? Okay,
yeah,
all right.
He was virtually
did you check?
Back
right.
to the trial line.
Okay.
So anyway, but it doesn't matter. I thought the best team won, bottom line.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. Suliasi Vunivalu did not go into touch. Did not go into touch. And what's crazier is the poor sideline official standing there while they're replaying it on the big screen and everyone's going, well, mate, he didn't go into touch, and they can't change the
rule. We've had this debate before. Why can't they change? It's an obvious howler. It's an obvious mistake. Human error. Go upstairs straight away. The technology gives you opportunity to look at that incident. Why don't they just change it?
I agree with you on this one.
Oh, here we go.
But the problem with this is we've got to... Now you're asking them to pick and choose. The flow of the game. Like, that's an obvious one.
Mm.
There's a minute to go. He didn't go out.
It's so important.
Give them another opportunity because they deserve it. Instead, we go to a scrum and Canberra have the scrum.
It's
but
just madness.
If you're in the 13th minute and there's a side on the attack, that's when you go, oh, keep the video ref out.
I know, but that was an obvious howler.
You're right.
And that's what the video ref's there for, isn't it?
It is, in essence, yes. In essence, yes. But we've seen howlers...
We discussed forward passes throughout the year. I think they should be able to rule on forward passes.
We've talked about the howler in cricket, and if you run out of reviews, you run out of reviews. It cost Australia a test match not so long ago. Why don't we talk about that test match? Gee, under the pump in this...
Yeah.
The decision not to play Mitchell Starc, right? How are you feeling
about that?
I'm
staggered. Two things. Look, I can see where Justin Langer is coming from in terms of playing Siddle and horses for courses, so to speak. But Look, am I being harsh in saying Peter Siddle is not going to win you a test match? Mitchell Starc can win you a test match. And he played well in the fourth test. He deserved to be retained.
Yes.
They brought in Mitchell Marsh as a fourth bowler. So they could use Hazelwood. They could use Cummins. And they could use Starc in short, sharp bursts.
Yes.
Why? Peter Siddle and why play Mitchell Marsh?
Right, this is a landmark day for us.
We're agreeing
almost wholeheartedly, except for your little Joey Leilua thing. But anyway, I totally agree with you.
I'm staggered. He's played one test match in this series. One test match. He was our standout bowler in the World Cup. Look, we won the Ashes. Fantastic. We retained the Ashes. That's it. My
job
year's
done.
Been made.
You're okay.
But seriously, what's going on?
Can I just ask you this? If you're an English batsman, all right, let's presume you're Geoffrey Boycott reincarnate.
Geoffrey Boycott?
Your little nicker and nudger, yeah, Sir Geoffrey. Mm. Who would you rather face? P-Siddle?
P-Siddle every day of the week, yeah.
Right, okay. Well, we're with you on that one.
I just can't understand. Anyway, we're in real trouble because England have batted quite well on the third day, 8 for 313, a lead now of 382 runs, 2 days to play. Australia going to be chasing 400-plus probably, Jim.
Would you have played Dave Warner in this test match? Taylor said he wouldn't have.
Yeah, I think we discussed it. I said yes, we would.
Yeah.
Give him a chance, but gee, he's averaging what? His average is
9.3.
It's horrendous, and he's just getting out to balls he shouldn't even hit. Shouldn't leave alone.
Yeah. It's clearly a psychological thing.
It's just it's sad.
Steve Smith failed.
He got 80. His lowest score of the series.
Lowest score of the series. So
just a quick one, Jim. 751 runs, 350s, 300s in six innings. He's only played the four tests. His average is currently 125.16. The next highest in the Australian team is Labuschagne. He's had a good series.
He has.
56.5. Then down to Travis Head, who got dropped at 27. In the English side, the only player with an average over 40 in the entire series is Ben Stokes at 55.12. He got a 60-odd overnight. He's had a great series, Ben Stokes.
Highlighted by that 135 knot. He's a real chance for player of the series, I reckon, Steve Smith. I think he is. I really do. Well done to the Giants. That was a massive win up there. Now, you watched the final quarter of this, didn't you?
Yeah, that was incredible. It was. And to be fair, the Brisbane Lions just had the Giants under siege. But two men in particular in the back six of the Giants, Phil Davis and Nick Haynes, were unbelievable. Their intercept marking just kept repelling Lions attacking forays time after time. They shouldn't have won that game and eventually got that chance where Brent Daniels screamed out of the pocket and scored the winning goal and put the Giants through to the prelim.
So Melbourne will be happy. Victoria will be happy. Two preliminary finals down there at the MCG. Yeah. We'll have Richmond up against Geelong.
Massive game. Big news, though. Tommy Hawkins will miss that.
Tomahawk?
That's a massive blow for Geelong.
What did he kick four on Friday?
Yeah, and he's their focal point in attack.
He's never looked fitter in his career, has he?
Oh, he's played well. He's a massive loss for Geelong.
And the other game, Collingwood up against GWS.
Yeah, and you see Nathan Buck, who was in the crowd.
Yeah, he's up there as well, yeah.
What about heartbreaking losses? Did you happen to watch the Boomers on Friday night?
I was getting score updates as we went, as we were watching the footy. Yeah.
Paddy Mills has been just so good right throughout this series. Had the chance to win the match with two free throws in regulation time with seconds to go. Nails the first, brings the scores level. Misses a second free throw with 4 seconds left. Go into double overtime.
Yes.
Spain has beaten the Boomers. The Boomers play off against France tonight, potentially for their first ever medal at a World Championship or at an Olympic Games. So
yeah. They've been fantastic.
And heartbreaking loss.
Most of Australia's got behind them too. That momentum has built, albeit a little bit slowly, I think, but it's certainly built. For those people who are wondering, for Andrew Bogut in particular, Switzerland.
Where's Fever's headquarters?
He was asking, where's Fever's headquarters? In not so many words. Actually, he might have used a few more words.
A few adjectives.
But just to let you know, Switzerland. Okay? Yeah. Raymond.
It was funny.
Do we have a new star? A queen of the turf, Raymond?
Wow, she's the real deal. Arcadia Queen, isn't she? Did you see the race yesterday?
I did.
Rose Hill, look, after Randwick last week, Rose Hill again, a little bit of bias. We haven't seen track bias in Sydney for so long. Successive Saturdays, it was very leaderish again yesterday. horses out wide found it difficult to make ground, but Arcadia Queen, I think, didn't matter where she ran, she was so good. Trope's effort to run second, excellent, but Arcadia Queen, Jim, she's right on track for the Everest.
And what about this crop of three-year-olds?
Outstanding. The first four over the line, the run to the Rose, all broke 33 seconds. Exceedance has run third. Some people said he was disappointing to
32.59.
Best sectional of the day.
Wow.
And he was out in the part of the track where what seemed to be difficult to make ground, yet he's come home in 32.59. So they're four exceptional colts going into the Golden Rose in 2 weeks.
Just before we exclusively release your talk topic for today, it's ours, but you know, you can, you are the
one team here, James.
That's right, that's
one
right. Team. Anthony Cummings will be coming up very shortly. Adrian Bott as well. We'll speak to Zorba. I know he's got these strong thoughts. We were texting each other
Manly
last night.
You wrote him off last week, Zorb.
Yeah, of course he did. Cool. Well done, Manly, on putting together 17 fit players for last night. Josh Parr will have a chat. Event Cinema's quiz. You got a score update on that, Roman?
2016.
Yes. Get mini break. Like Liverpool at the top of the EPL.
They won again overnight. Just an aside.
Really? Fantastic. Save Manchester United too against the odds.
Man City got beat, so Liverpool slipped away. Mini break.
Anyway. Good work. Terry Daffy will be along as well. Dean Bulldog Ritchie. We're going to have a chat with Peter Sterling too. Peter Sterling's going to be on the program, so we look forward to having a chat to him. He's just jumping off the plane, just heading into Channel 9. He's going to spend some time with us too, which we can look forward to.
What a great analyst for rugby league.
Fantastic, isn't he? Yeah. And Phil Moss, he'll be along for a chat around, of course, all things football. Over to you, Raymond.
Yeah, look, I know just before we get to our talk topic, we probably should be remiss of not mentioning the passing of Danny Frawley early in the week. Jim, a very sad moment in AFL and for Australian sports fans, because he was an extremely well-known figure, obviously in AFL circles, but to the wider sporting community.
Definitely.
And to Danny Frawley's family and to all his friends as well, pass on our best wishes.
Undoubtedly. Mm. A great talent. I think Damien Barrett, the AFL writer, described him as a complex individual. They had a very, very close relationship, and it is such a tragedy. And as you said, thoughts and prayers with everyone in the Frawley
only
family.
Only 56 years old. Very sad. James, Steve Smith's incredible series and his numbers out of this series really do that cliche one-man side. He virtually has carried Australia's batting at least, hasn't he?
Yes.
Brings us to our talk topic, James.
And what is it, Roman?
Oh, one man team.
First among equals.
That's it. The superstar in 18.
First among equals. Great Jeffrey Archer book, by the way. First among equals. But yes, we're all in this team together, but you were in trouble if you don't play.
Correct.
Which is Steve Smith to a T. Can I bring you to the 1980s? Can I bring you to Rugby League Showpiece? Can I bring you to State of Origin, Raymond? He's been a guest on this program as our legend of the game.
He didn't play for the Blues, did he?
No, he didn't. He didn't. Mm. Unfortunately, the great Wally Lewis. Eight Man of the Match awards, and of course he was Queensland at the time, despite the fact he had Gene Miles and Mal Meninga and Paul Vorton and Greg Dowling and Mark Murray and Greg Kineskio and Colin Scott. There's only one king. He was the Emperor of Lang Park. That'll play well with the Queensland audiences, right?
I lived in Melbourne for a couple of years in the 80s, and Tony Lockett was still playing at St Kilda, and St Kilda were cellar dwellers, seriously. They had one player. They had Danny Frawley at the back end. He was very good. But Tony Lockett was an absolute star. You know, one of those sports people, you walk over broken glass to go and watch play?
Yeah.
You go, even though you didn't barrack for St Kilda, you'd go and watch Lockett play. He kicked 10 goals for fun each and every week against the best sides in the competition. He was that good. He was St Kilda.
I'm going to put you on the spot. How many times did he kick 100 goals in a year? Four or five, six times?
Probably at least.
Yeah.
That was an era when full forwards were full forwards.
Yeah. Jason
was
Dunstall.
Gary Abbott was switched to full forward later in his career, and those three were playing at the same time. They were probably three of the greatest of all time, if not the greatest of all time.
And now Plugger looks fitter than
he ever does.
he ever did during his training
with his greyhounds, isn't he?
That's right. So there it is, ladies and gents. The Wingman Beer, by the way, a bit of an announcement on Wingman Beer a little bit later on.
Can you exclusively reveal now?
No, not now.
Okay.
What we're going to do is tease people that a little bit later on we're going to exclusively reveal something on behalf of Wingman. The Wings book, negotiations?
I've passed them over to you, haven't I?
Postponed. Fair to you.
I've passed them over to you.
Negotiations have been postponed. Anyway, the Winx book, and the Wingman beer will be coming your way for the best contribution. First among equals. First among equals. And just before we go to the break, we want to encourage you to get involved in the program, 1353 53, or indeed on the SMS 0419 767 272. Morning, boys. Well, what a start to the semi-finals. How exciting has it been? I've actually come up with a promo for next week's round. The NRL, it's all fun and games until someone cops a sparkler in the eye. It would appeal to all one-eyed supporters. Paul and Huskisson, you think things in a very different way.
Stratum Star, the millions maker. A dual Group 1 winner from coast to coast.
Stratum Star raced up now to Jamaica. Juvenile starting to clash over the United States down on the inside. Stratum Star's hit the front. He's won it.
Stratum Star, by a Golden Slipper winner and champion sire of two-year-olds. Standing at tremendous value this season.
But Stratum Star on the backup. He's too good.
Visit Widden.com.
Every 8 minutes, an Australian is diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. Being overweight and inactive significantly increases the risk of developing type 2 diabetes and other chronic conditions. Walking regularly is the best exercise because you can easily build it into your daily routine. So let's get walking every day. Friday the 4th of October is Diabetes Australia Walk to Work Day. Join the walking class and learn more at walk.com.au.
Sydney's newest must-see home renovation destination is now open. Wideline Windows and Doors state-of-the-art Liverpool showroom features an impressive range of residential, designer and architectural designs on display. Experience window shopping like never before. See how your home will look and feel with our stunning contemporary 310 square metre showroom, plus find solutions to improve energy efficiency, acoustics, privacy and security. Wideline Liverpool will bring your home renovation to life. Located at 12 Home Pride Avenue, Warwick Farm, open 6 days.
Dynamic Syndications, Gay and Adrian offer a colt to own with Aquas Farm. By Vancouver, Gay trained him to be the Golden Slipper winning champion two-year-old. From Danglissa Girl, daughter of the Gay Train Group 1 winner Danglissa, and closely related to Gay's Group 3 winner Sweet Redemption and Gay Stakes winner Unite and Conquer. Join our Dynamic Gay and Adrian and Aquas team for $9,400 a share. Visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3368-08.
Here comes Stage Man down the outside. He's winding up with his run. Is this a Super 6? Goes up, reaches the lead. Stage Man, King's Authority, gets the run. But Jade McNaught has won 6 of 9 here this afternoon. I reckon it's a record. She's got there on Stage Man from King's Authority. More aces.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. Race replay time. Really significant day at Rosehill yesterday, Jim, because I think we saw some rising stars emerge. And our first race replay, this is a really nice horse. His name is Just Thinking. Who knows where he might end up this spring?
Superior is making hard work of it around the turn. He's two behind True Detective into the straight, and Just Thinking slipped two lengths clear. Superdar on the fence goes to second, then came Fasano. True Detective down the outside. Superior's not in the hunt. Just Thinking a length clear from Superdar, who sticks to the task the inside. Just Thinking starting to drift in a bit on Superdar. It's Just Thinking a half in front to Superdar. Just Thinking keeps kicking, and Just Thinking's going to lead all the way from Superdar. Shadow Hero got going for third.
Typical Waterhouse bot horse, gets to the front and just goes from there. So what are we thinking for Just Thinking, right?
You know, they've entered this horse. We'll talk to Adrian Bott shortly for races like the Epsom Handicap and even the Melbourne Cup. So they've got their options wide open, obviously. He's an ideal type for a spring champion stakes, Jimmy, and then on to maybe the Victoria Derby all going well.
Okay, I'm just looking for Just Thinking then in the Epsom, and have to go a long way down before we can find.
I think we might see that. There
just
it is.
Just Thinking, 100 to 1.
I'm tipping they'll be adjusted anyway. On to the Run to the Rose. I mentioned earlier, these are four very, very good colts. Bivouac, Yes, 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 Exceedance and Kubrick. They all broke 33 seconds for their last 600 metres, but Bivouac was just too fast and too good.
Hightail swings the corner in front from Bivouac second, then Yes, Yes, Yes. Dawn Passage looking for an inside runner and a length further back to Exceedance being popped the questioner. Bivouac takes the lead of the 200. Two lengths clear from Yes, Yes, Yes. Exceedance is only grinding. He's one pace. It's Bivouac in front from Exceedance. Bivouac's going to turn the tables and do it big time. Bivouac goes clear for a big win. Yes, Yes, Yes held second from Exceedance. Then Kubrick. Dawn Passage.
All right, so now we look to that Golden Rose, Raymond. That's in a couple of weeks' time. Here we go. Here's the market. Bivouac, $3.50. Exceedance, $3.50. You said the sectionals was the best of the day.
Yes.
The final 600. Yes, yes, yes. City Ford says yes more often, $4.50.
City Ford sponsors this show?
Not yet. $11. Castelvecchio, $15 there.
Yeah, interesting what they might do with him, because he ran in the race that was won by Just Thinking.
Yes.
Came from a long way back.
Flew home.
Ran fourth. That was 1,500 metres. So in 2 weeks' time, it's got
come back
to
1,400
against these brilliant colts. I wonder if that's the way to go. They might have a rethink and maybe go to the Gloaming, for example. But
okay.
He was very, very good yesterday, Castelvecchio. Spoke to Chris Waller late in the day, Jim, and Yes, Yes, Yes and Kubrick were his two runners that ran second and fourth in the run to the Rose. They were both first up yesterday, and he said he wouldn't swap his 2 3-year-olds for any others in the Golden Rose. So
okay.
They'll definitely improve. On to then the Theo Marx Stakes. We'd heard a lot about this horse, Arcadia Queen. I said a few times in the lead-up to yesterday's race, Jim, that I hadn't seen a horse come out of Perth with a bigger boom on them since Northerly back in 2001, 2002. Arcadia Queen lives right up to it.
A long odds leader, Deploy, coming around the corner by a length and a half now on Baller as Deploy tries to pinch it here. Zusain in third. Arcadia Queen working into the clear, into the straight, and Deploy swings two in front from Baller and Arcadia Queen, revved up by McDonald, and the mare is starting to close in quickly. Arcadia Queen lays it down to Deploy, and they're broken clear from the rest. Wide out Trope is running on, but Arcadia Queen at the 100, two lengths clear from Trope, is going into a clear second. Then came Gem Song, but the Queen of the West, Arcadia Queen, too good in the Theo Marx, won it by two lengths to Trope. Gem Song third. Then
Queen of the West, 5 weeks out from the Everest on the 19th of October. Santa Ana Lane, the favourite, still at $5. Pierrata, $6. Arcadia Queen now in on third line of betting with Osborne Bulls, which is not yet confirmed. Any update on that?
Yeah, no. Well, next week, nothing from Godolphin, but next Saturday, providing we don't get a wet track,
because
a couple of these horses might miss if we get a wet track, we'll see Santa Ana Lane, we'll see Pierrata, Osborne Bulls will resume, Red Zill, Classic Legend, keep scrolling down there, Jim, In Her Time, Sunlight, and probably Graf, all running in the shorts. So it will literally be a dress rehearsal for the Everest. That little rider, provided we don't get a wet track.
And look, for all those people who have those plans with those horses moving forward, I hope we do get a wet track everywhere around the state.
Yeah, a very, very good point. Yeah,
yes.
We do need it. Here's some towns may run out of water very shortly.
Terrible, terrible situation.
My mum was saying Tamworth could be out of water at Christmas. I can't believe
Dubbo's
that.
November.
Dubbo's next, the first big town in. It's just horrendous. On to the Shirako Stakes, and this was a great finish. Mitzi proved her Toy Show Stakes win, no fluke.
Dyslexic right behind looking for room, so it's ready to profit. It's Mizzy, Alessio for Seeker. Dyslexic needs a run desperately. Champagne Cuddles winding up on the outside. It's for Seeker, Champagne Cuddles. Dyslexic still can't get out. Mizzy's kicking back on the rails. It's Mizzy in front from Champagne Cuddles for Seeker. Mizzy's going to win. Mizzy by a half length two for Seeker. Then Champagne Cuddles.
So she's been good. A couple of Metro winners for Mizzy. Now, I don't think we gave the price after all that for Arcadia Queen in the Everest. $7.
Yes.
So they're all
third
on
line
that.
Of betting. 11s into sevens. Jim.
Third line of betting, yeah. So we're looking here for Mizzy in what do you think Mizzy's
Golden Pendant on Golden Rose Day on September 28th, the obvious target. For Seeker was unlucky. She sort of bungled the start. Normally she's up on speed, end up three wide exposed. Her effort to run second were amazing. Champagne Cuddles first up, out in the worst part of the track. Very, very good. So some horses to follow out of that. Group 1 racing at Flemington. Mystic Journey. She was going for her 8th consecutive win, but a horse called Gatting causes a massive upset.
followed by Yucatan, then Quafila, 50 Stars, Ahood and Sound, and Hartnell to the outer. Scales of Justice puts it to Galo Shop at the 300. Gatting on the outside. Mystic Journey is coming now, followed by Kingsville Dream, Yucatan, and then came Hartnell. Gatting up to Scales of Justice at the 200. Mystic Journey is trying to get Gatting. It's leading by three quarters to Mystic Journey. Still Gatting from Mystic Journey. It's Gatting. It's a massive boil over. Shades of Dandy Andy. Mystic Journey second, third. Mr. Quickie fourth. Hartnell. Then
there you go, Matty Hill. It was a massive boil over. So we're looking at the Cox Plate now. By the way, Gatting, from what we understand, likes a beer and a smoke and a punt and a food.
The Gatting the racehorse a bit fitter than Gatting the batsman.
$4.50 still for the Cox Plate Mystic Journey. Lise Grassou at $8. And then if we're looking for Gatting, $26.
$26. I wonder, James, if Mystic Journey does still go to the Cox Plate.
Ooh.
The next start is likely to be the Underwood Stakes at 1,800 or the Turnbull at 2,000.
Yes.
Look, she ran well yesterday, but she was clearly outpointed at 1,600 metres by Gatting. You know, can she? She was second up. So, look, got to give her one more chance, but if they don't go to the Cox Plate, they might have to switch back to a race like the Golden Eagle, for example.
Okay. All right. There we go. That's it.
That's it, James.
All done. There we go. We eventually get through them. 13:53:53 is the open.
I knew it was coming.
No, come on. Let's go to calls now, Raymond. Lex is on the line. G'day, Lex.
G'day. How are you, Jimmy? Hello, Ray.
Morning, Lex.
I think your topic today is one-man band.
Yeah.
Yes. One name sprung to mind. NBA, I follow a bit of basketball, is LeBron James.
Yeah.
Was with Miami Heat, won championships.
Yes.
Left Miami, they've sunk into oblivion. He went to Cleveland, won championships, was runner-up a couple of times.
Yes.
With LeBron, he left there. They've sunk even further into oblivion than Miami.
Yes.
So is he one of the real standouts as a one-man team?
Lex,
he makes a team, leaves them, and they sort of disappear a little bit.
Lex, spot on. We actually, Tanya and I went to Madison Square Garden. Can I tell you a story, Jim? I'm going to anyway. And it's a Cleveland Cavaliers, I think by memory, playing the New York Knicks. Jimmy's gone to sleep. No, seriously, last quarter, it was almost like LeBron James said, right, I'm going to win this ball game. The whole team just kept passing the ball to LeBron. He just kept sinking them all over the shop. It was just, it was like watching a schoolboy's game and one kid was totally dominant.
And just when you thought basketball was a team sport. Literally.
Get the ball to LeBron. Get the ball to LeBron.
The individual. And speaking of, Michael Jordan, 3 NBA titles, 3 MVPs, 2 years off. He comes back, wins 3 NBA titles, and he wins 3 MVPs. Jack from Olbar.
Yeah, you think about Michael Jordan. He had some great players around, like Scottie Pippen, but Michael Jordan was just another star again, wasn't it? Different level, wasn't he?
Undoubtedly. Ron's on the line. G'day, Ronnie.
Hey, Jimmy. And Ray. How are you, mate?
Good morning, Ron. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. It's very dry up here, though.
Yeah,
need the rain, Ron.
I'll tell you what, if that bloody wingman beer turns up, that'd help.
Oh, it'll be on its way. Don't worry about that.
Now, my prize ball is waiting for it, you know.
Won't be too far away, Ron.
What do you got for us, Ronnie?
I thought Sam Kerr was a bit of a standout.
Oh,
yeah. Good one. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure that
didn't matter whether, even when she was playing over in the States, I've got some footage of her there with the Blues or whoever they were called. And, yeah, she sort of took it on.
No, that's a good one, Ronnie.
Superstar.
Good nomination there. Just as we go to the break too, Roman, there's an SMS that's come in. And by the way, as a youngster, I was a massive Sir Richard Hadley fan.
Oh, right. You said that a few times, yeah.
Best one-man team, Sir Richard Hadley. New Zealand would never have bowled out a team without him. Darren in Brisbane.
Early leader,
Darren from Brisbane. Remember he got 9 for up at the Gabba?
And I remember that time he was bowling at the MCG and those guys were trying to hold him out, and they did. But he was just what a man Richard Hadley was, wasn't he?
Unbelievable. And poor old you're facing Ewan Chatfield at the other end. I think you
want to get the other end, don't you?
You could have noodled
some runs. A little nicker and nudger
against Ewan Chatfield. Martin Sneddon. Mate, remember Martin Sneddon?
He bowled the ball twice,
sort of thing, didn't he? Anyway, 1353-53 is the open line number. We're going to take a break here, and after that,
Martin
we'll come back and we'll spend the next 2 hours and 20 minutes working out who runs second to Darren from Brisbane, who's nominated Sir Richard Hadley.
Hi, I'm Lane Beachley. When it comes to recycling, there aren't always easy answers. But when it comes to recycling printer cartridges, most Australians know what to do, thanks to Cartridges for Planet Ark. That's why we've already recycled 40 million cartridges, or enough to fill 80 Olympic swimming pools. To find your nearest cartridge collection box, or to order one for your workplace, search Cartridges for Planet Ark and get involved today.
This week at Kia, it's all about the number 7. Because during the Kia 7-day sale, private buyers receive a $777 bonus on top of already great driveway deals across the entire Kia range, including Cerato, Sportage and Sorento. Plus, every new Kia comes with Australia's best 7-year unlimited kilometre warranty. Hurry, Kia's 7-day sale ends September 15. Warranty terms at kia.com.au.
Hi, I'm Bernadette Cooper, inviting you to join me for the Dubai World Cup in March with Ambassador Travel. We take in breakfast with the stars, a fabulous desert safari with traditional Arabic barbecue, plenty of time for sightseeing and shopping, and of course, one of the most exciting racing events in the world, the Dubai World Cup at spectacular Maidan Racecourse. You can even extend your tour and include a trip to Egypt to take in Cairo and cruise the River Nile.
Call 1-800-777-989 or visit ambassadortravel.com.au.
Customers love our coffee, but we just can't keep up with the morning rush. I need more hands on deck.
When you're ready to grow your business, you should call OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. OnDeck Group has lent $10 billion to over 80,000 small businesses globally. Apply in 10 minutes, get approval in hours, and have the money in your account as fast as the next business day. So for a loan to help you hire more employees, apply now at ondeck.com.au. All loans are subject to lender approval.
Green Dispatch in front here for Shin. He's starting to knock up. They're charging from all angles. Speedy Wally, CP Power. Green Dispatch in front holds on to win. Shin's on the scoreboard.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, that was Blake Shin's first winner in Hong Kong, so
well,
congratulations to him. Our talk topic, one man bands. Plenty of people chiming in on SMS, and you can call us on 135353. Also, I'd like to read out this SMS from Dave from Port Macquarie.
Yes.
James, because it's resonated with me. I found it strange to see the Aussies carrying on as winners at Old Trafford. All they did was retain a trophy as a group of other blokes won 2 years previously. This mob had won nothing. And indeed, look like we'll now draw this series, which makes all those celebrations look a bit stupid. Even the selectors got carried away in thinking they'd actually won the series by picking a team of mates to play the last game, not a team to win. A drawn series against this poor England side, in Dave's opinion, is a failure.
No, Dave. Their goal was to retain the Ashes.
They've done it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they've done it.
I see your point. I see.
Well, they picked the wrong side.
I think we both agree on that.
Why didn't they play Stark? It's beyond belief. Anyway, we'll move on. As I mentioned earlier yesterday, Jim, Just Thinking was really impressive yesterday for a young horse stepping out of a midweek maiden straight into group class, and he was too tough and too good, and Adrian Botts has been good enough to join us on the line. Adrian, good morning, and it's a difficult transition for a horse to do what Just Thinking did yesterday. That augurs well for his future, Adrian.
Yeah. Hey, morning, Ray. Morning, Jimmy. Big step for him. And look, we were confident of the ability of the horse that we had. We know the family well, and we're confident he could take that step. So it's good to see him do it. And feel there's certainly a lot more upside to come.
The race pattern is so Waterhouse bot, wasn't it? Was that a natural thing for Just Thinking?
Yeah. Look, he's just got a beautiful high cruising speed, and
right.
And that early tactical speed helps so much, even over the 1300 metres there, he was able to begin brilliantly and lead him up in the midweeks, and so we thought stepping up in grade and up in trip, if he shows that brilliant speed again, he can sustain that for a long time, so it's going to be awfully hard for a few people to be you know, making up the ground required from that point.
How much of that is natural, Adrian, and how much or can that be taught?
A fair bit of it's taught. I guess obviously not all our horses can hold that racing pattern naturally, but yeah. The majority of them can, and that's all taught from right from a very early starting point for them.
Yeah. Oh, I guess, Adrian, if horses can adapt to that sort of racing pattern, and they essentially take bad luck out of the equation most of the time.
Yeah, look, it's worked well for us over the years, and obviously the stable and TJ before, so it's a system that I wasn't really going to try and change. And yeah. I guess it's really the only system that I know as well, and the results are backed up off that. But obviously, there's a few other horses where you make exceptions for that have that real natural brilliance, and you don't want to deter from that by using that speed early. But unfortunately, not all the horses possess that sort of turn of speed or turn of foot. So next best horseman's being able to lead them.
We've spoken to Gay a number of times over the last 10 years on this program. If you were to suggest that, Adrian, could you make sure we get a camera out there? Just that might be worth documenting.
It's always a heated debate. Whoever wants to take the ball up for that one. a few jockeys come, I might be a bit better ridden with cover or something to fire. But all right, well, you mentioned that one to Gay.
I know who wins that debate. Hey, Adrian, obviously yesterday, outstanding result. Where to next now for Just Thinking? And look, I know I discussed it with you late last week. There is nominations for races like the Epsom and indeed even a Melbourne Cup. And I guess, as I said to you earlier, Adrian, that's probably indicative of how highly you rate this three-year-old.
Yeah, I guess that's very fair to say the opinion that we had of him and the level that we thought we could get him to, not necessarily that he'll that's the exact plan to get him to the Epsom or to the Melbourne Cup, but I think there's a nice path to follow. The gloaming just looks a natural step up to 1800. I think will be ideal for him, and then obviously would love to be able to try and win a Group One with him, which would be the spring champion here in Sydney. We fell short of that. Mm-hmm. Last year with his brother, so
thinking big, yeah.
I know Peter and June Dunn would very much like to win a race at something like that, and then I think that just naturally leads itself down to the Derby. That's a fantastic race, and I'd love to be able to win a classic like that, and I think he's the right style of horse to do it. I think just in comparisons with the family and the brother, thinking big probably just showed that bit more. He probably had a bit more brilliance that we're talking about, probably a bit more turn of foot, whereas this guy, I think, just a bit more stamina about him, probably a little bit tougher in that sense and might have a few better staying capabilities, which thinking big probably didn't quite see out the Victoria Derby trip in the end.
Mm. Fair enough. Just quickly, Adrian, Yayo Dash, who won well last week, what are your plans with him? Is he potentially Golden Rose? Or?
Look, we haven't fully closed the door on it yet, but I'd say it's most likely that he's going to miss that race. He's still such a young horse, and still, just looking at him physically, you really see a horse that's a good 6 months away still. So we're a bit hesitant to throw him in the deep end there just yet. A couple of races after the Golden Rose, such as the Stan Fox or the Bondi Stakes, that might look towards. Everything's always going to weigh up here. He's a Magic Millions eligible horse. There's $2 million there at the start of the year on offer. There's so many races around and so many options. Sometimes the head starts spinning a bit better. To answer your question, the Golden Rose is probably unlikely for him.
Yeah. No worries.
Adrian, well done yesterday. Congratulations on that. It is exciting just to where Just Thinking might end up during the course of this preparation. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks very much for having us on the show, guys.
Thanks, Adrian.
Adrian Bott is there and is the co-trainer of Just Thinking, a winner yesterday for them at Rose Hill Gardens. Can I just before we go to Anthony Cummins, can I just ask you a really personal question at this point?
Fire away, James.
Back-to-back winners.
It's a breakfast winning show. Breakfast show this, don't forget.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Back-to-back winners yesterday for Bjorn Baker, and he doesn't get a phone call today? It's a tough school, isn't it?
Well, thought he'd give him a break. He has to win stakes races like our next guest did.
Oh, now you're putting the hard word on him. He's got to up the game a little bit. Oh, he'd be sitting at home right now expecting a call, you know that. That's what he'd be doing. And if there's one bloke who can pump up his tyres more than Bjørn Baker, I haven't met him.
He's going well, but so is this man, Anthony Cummings. Had another big race winner yesterday with Mitzi taking out an exciting Scirocco Stakes. And Anthony's on the line. Anthony, good morning. And
morning.
Mitzi showed a fair bit of promise last season, but is it fair to say, Anthony, she's gone to a new level now?
Yeah, I think so. She's now taking all of that good track record she's seen in previous preps to the races, and she's giving it all of herself and the results there to see.
Mm. She showed a toughness yesterday too during the course of that race, Anthony. Which did you realise that she had that attribute?
Yeah, we've seen that here in track work, and then even in those other races. While she wasn't winning, she's very goody and did sort of try pretty hard. But I think now as a more mature mare, as I say, she's transferring that work to race day.
Mm.
But it was a very tough win, and we didn't expect to be in that spot in the plans going out. We thought she could probably lead, but when it was slow to jump, Tommy, took the opportunity and made the best of it, and it was a very good ride.
He seized the initiative, didn't he? Anthony, after the race, she's won a Group 3, she's won a Group 2, you'd love to win a Group 1, and actually Tommy Berry made mention of that too when he spoke to the press after the race as well, that she's deserving of a shot at a Group 1, but what Group 1s can you see her being targeted for? Because I think a race like the Golden Pendant at Group 2 level seems the logical next step for her.
Yeah, I think that probably is a logical next step for a couple of different reasons. I think she should have made a mark for as a sprinter so far this time back. Whether she's going to stretch, actually she probably will, but to the same level, I'm not sure, but she'll stretch it to 1,500 bunch as she did in the Coolmore. Mm. But there's sort of 7.5 million reasons to have a closer look at that at the end of this prep. So if we get to the Golden Pendant and we get a good result there... And in terms of building a stakes performance bank for her as a broodmare going forward, that box is pretty much ticked. There'll be opportunities certainly for her at Group 1 level along the way. Probably Tash Tiara, those sorts of things in the winter would be good goals for her. But the Golden Eagle at the end of this season is a once in a career race, and it's worth a good look at.
Makes sense. Mm.
It must be, it's a bit of extra work, but it must be exciting to every time the horse has we saw the toy show 3 weeks ago, Scirocco yesterday, that you have to reassess plans, Anthony.
Yeah, it's no problem, I can tell you. I've had all sorts of problems all the way, and I can tell you this is not one.
Yeah, most definitely.
No problem with Libertini, Anthony?
She's good, been bright and well. So she's on track for the 1,400 next week.
Yes, yeah, okay. T-Rose. And you said all along that's the fork in the road for her spring campaign.
Pretty much. We get to there and see exactly what she does, and that'll determine the races we'll get going forward. So it's the first time she's run past 1,200, and so that will be instructive on its own. The nature of the run, whether it be, lucky, unlucky, win second, third, whatever it might be, just to assess what she does and then go forward from there.
Yeah. Does going past the 1,200 just automatically rule out the Everest?
No.
Right. How are you going with those conversations with Jerry? Because you seem to be a polar opposite of the spectrum on that one.
He's playing it down, but I'm tipping he's left the door a little bit ajar though, Anthony.
Well, 101 is still a chance, isn't it?
That's right.
We saw it yesterday in a Group 1 in Melbourne. So
That's right. All things are possible.
Exactly. Well, we'll look forward to seeing her next week. That's going to be an important race for T-Rose, for Libertini. Anthony, we've said it a couple of times already this spring. The stable is flying.
Yeah.
We hope it continues, and we hope we bother you a few more times on a Sunday morning, Anthony.
Always pleased to take the call.
Thanks so much, mate.
Thanks, Anthony. Anthony Cummings here, trainer of Mizzy. By the way, the Golden Eagle market, 2nd of November, Saturday the 2nd of November. Arcadia Queen, $4. Classic Legend, $4.50. And then if you're looking for Mizzy, there it is in the market at $26. Mm. $26 along with Madison County and a couple of others there. Just confirming entry for the Golden Eagle. We know how it works for the Everest. We know how it works for the Kosciuszko.
It's like normal race. You pre-nom and you go, and then you get in. Best horses get the run. Yeah.
To the value of? What's
7.5.
Just a 7.5, yeah. Is it? Right. Okay.
Four-year-olds only, so it's a unique race in many respects.
Yes. Hadley kept his car. Hadley first, team second. That's someone coming in suggesting that our man, Sir Richard, wasn't the biggest team player of all time. So, yes, thank you. No name on that one. By the way, we've got to make mention, we've been sent a lovely photo from our man Phil at Dubbo, Eagle-Eyed Phil. He'd have been very happy with the Seagulls' performance last night. Great photo with the legendary KJ O'Keefe. Must have been gigging out at Dubbo.
Who we've had on the show as a legend and who you have worked with previously, James.
Yeah, one of the all-time greats, and there's a fantastic photo. So good on you, Eagle-Eyed Phil. One for the pool room.
You'll like this one, Dave. Jimmy from Denman Devil. Hi, boys. What about Alan Border, the great AB, carrying the Aussie sides for a decade through the 80s? Wasn't he amazing, AB?
Oh, he was my favourite Australian player during that period of time.
Talk about putting a price on your wicket.
Didn't he? Remember the great Malcolm Marshall? Came and played for the Waverley District Cricket Club in 1990-91. Funnily enough, they won the premiership that year, right? And we used to just sit around and talk to him and say, who is the wicket that you
prize the most?
And he said, Ebby. Ebby.
Well, he just wouldn't give it away, would he?
Yeah. And then he said, Javed in Pakistan.
Oh, you had to rule out LBW. You weren't going to get one of those.
Right. That's right. This comes in from Scooter. Jimmy is a standout in his team, albeit he's the only member. That's right. I'm glad you acknowledged that, Scooter. I've been talking about it for a long, long time.
team here. There was one here I just wanted to... Here it is. Mitch from Tamworth. One-man team with a number one on his back. 2009 final series. A man called Jared Hayne for Parramatta. Wasn't he special during that month-long...
No, nah, 6 weeks, 8 weeks.
Yeah, into the finals and through the finals.
Into the grand final. Yeah. Dally M Player of the Year
that year.
He
was phenomenal. Reminded me a bit of Gary Ablett in the 89 AFL final series. I think he got best on ground 4 weeks in a row, including in a losing grand final. So.
Kick nine?
He did.
Kick nine that
what
day.
What a player.
Gary, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Morning, Gary.
Jim and Ray, just quickly on last week, can I just clear this up? It'll take 1 second.
Go for it.
See, I was whinging about the NRL. I don't think they're qualified for the jobs they're appointed to. And my point was the Golden Point and Grand Final, which is how they thought about that, it's unbelievable. That's number one. Number two was the fine system. After two fines, you can't get a fine again. That we'll never see that again going forward. And number three, for 7 years, you can't hear the questions at a press conference. They're not quite. It's so frustrating. But I just want to mention Mark Graham.
Yes.
Graham was a world beater. He'd get flogged every week. His side would get flogged, the Bears, every week by 20. He'd be best on ground.
He'd be best on ground. What a player, yeah.
And he would walk into any side around that time.
Yes.
Yeah, no.
Yes.
100% agree, Gary.
Yes.
Good call.
By the way, Gary, a breakthrough. In the car on the way here, and I like to listen to the press conferences from the night before.
Yep.
There's been a major breakthrough for the semi-finals.
And there was a microphone there.
Microphones.
There you go. They listened to Gary from last week.
So the questions can be heard. There you go. Hello, Dennis.
Hello, mate. How you going?
Really well.
Jimmy, how do you destroy a fullback? You play for Melbourne Storm. You ask him to take the ball in amongst the forward. It's about every time. Billy Slater's good, but he didn't do it every time. The Storm... They say, take the ball up first, run you, be second.
You think
they killed him last night.
Pappenhausen.
The Storm killed him, not Canberra.
That was
the most inept performance I've ever seen by a coach and a captain in a semi-final.
I tell you what,
I cannot believe they kept kicking goals. They had him on the ropes 3 or 4 times.
All right, good on you. Thanks.
Pappenhausen is brave.
No doubt.
She's brave.
I don't know if I'd use the word inept to describe that performance last night of the Melbourne Storm.
Raiders should have been further in front at half time.
You realise he had 28 carries the week before for 300 metres, Ryan Pappenhausen.
He's dynamic.
That's what you want your fullback doing.
And you want him running because he's so fast and he's so dangerous.
Winks Book and Wingman Beer for the best contribution today. First among equals is our talk topic. Time now to say good morning for the first time to Tanya with the scratchings around the country.
Morning, boys. Morning, everyone. Racing in New South Wales today's at Dubbo and Coffs Harbour, Sunshine Coast in Queensland and Mount Gambier in South Australia. Starting with Dubbo, the weather is fine. The track are good for the rail true. Penetrometer 3.8 and 31 scratchings. Race 1, take out 3 Set Goals and 5 Soldier Poi, 3 and 5. Race 2, number 6, Toe Tapper and 8, Two Ducks Artie, 6 and 8. Out of the 3rd, number 7, Fiery Zone, 8, My Shiromi, 14, Sniper excels, and Emergency 16 and 17, 7, 8, 14, 16 and 17. Race 4, number 3, African Guy, 8, Poor Corner, and Emergency 17 and 18, 3, 8, 17, 18. Race 5, number 7, Rusty Motorbike, and the Emergency's 14, 15, 16. Take out 7, 14, 15 and 16. Race 6, number 1, Christo, and Emergency's 16 to 18. So numbers 1, 16, 17 and 18 out of race 6. Race 7, number 2, Brazen, 3, It's So Obvious, 7, You Know Best, and Emergency 18, 2, 3, 7, and 18. Race 8, number 2, Super Tycoon, and 14, Two Ducks Artie, 2 and 14. And race 9, number 7, Al Kira, 12, Smart Move, and Emergency 17 and 18. 7, 12, 17, and 18 from race 9 at Dubbo. To Coffs Harbour, the weather is fine. The track are good for the rail out 4 metres from the 1,000 to the 350, and there are 19 scratchings. Race 1, take out 6, Miracle Knight, and 12, Lady Mantegna, 6 and 12. Race 2 is clear. Race 3, number 2, Mr. PK, number 2. Out of race 4, number 2, The Memory Man, 4, Back the Rock, 5, Hooray Henry, 9, Group Think, and 13, Motel, 2, 4, 5, 9, and 13. Race 5, number 7, Adja, 13, Sampfire Ho, and the Emergency 15, 7, 13, and 15. From race 6, number 2, Toe Tapper, 4, Rumbarella, 8, Shopping Paradise, and 10, Let's Talk a Deal, 2, 4, 8, and 10 from race 6. And race 7, number 9, Institution, 13, Mon Petit Filly, and Emergency 17 and 18. 9, 13, 17, and 18 out of race 7 at Coffs Harbour. And up to the sunny coast, the weather is fine. The track are good for the rail out 3 metres the entire course. Penetrometer 6.43 and 21 scratchings. The first is clear. Start at race 2, take out 8, Written with Ease, number 8. Race 3, number 7, So What, I'm a Rockstar, 8, Ahead of His Time, 9, Got My Thrills, and 10, Miss Gem, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Race 4, number 11, Lunch Session, number 11. Out of the 5th, number 2, Sunlander, 4, General Wit, 7, Vintage Model, 9, Feeling Ready, and 14, Scissor Door, 2, 4, 7, 9, and 14. Race 6 is clear. Race 7, number 10, Shopping Paradise, number 10 from the 7th. And out of race 8, number 2, Kingly, 3, Zulu Dancer, 9, Rose of Castile, 13, Newton, and Emergency 17, 19, 22, 23, and 24. So out of race 8, number 2, 3, 9, 13, 17, 19, 22, 23 and 24 from race 8 at the Sunshine Coast.
Thanks, Tam. Successfully negotiated some tongue twisters there.
Well done. Did my best.
Yeah. Dubbo Gold Cup Day today. Showcase meeting up there at Dubbo. We're praying for rain.
Please
for
rain.
There. Anyway, hopefully there's a couple of winners there we can find. Race 4, number 2, Mr. Hustle for Cameron Crockett. Into race 6, number 6, Antarctic Ocean. In the cup, I do like Cameron Crockett's horse, Artistic Beauty, number 4, Each Way. That's race 8, number 4, Each Way. Two tips at Coffs Harbour, James. Race 2, number 1, Machini. Into race 7, number 11, Wild Fortune.
We will put those out on social media for you to have a little flutter today. Coming up now, the news, but late breaking news here of our own, Raymond. Big good morning to Libby, my sister, who's listening to the radio show. She lives up in Brisbane. See, we've only just recently started going up there into Queensland.
Join the growing audience.
The growing audience. So to all the kids up there, Juliet, Rory and Oscar as well. So hopefully they're listening. So there's four more. And husband Nige.
Tell your friends.
We'll make it five.
Tell the wider family.
Put them all in the surveys. and we've got the news now. And then after the news, we'll have Zorba with his thoughts on the rugby league.
I'm Sarah Warnbeck. Prime Minister Scott Morrison and his embattled Liberal colleague Gladys Liu can expect Labor to further pursue the first-term Victorian MP over her background when federal parliament sits next week. Ms Liu is under fire over donations and links to the Chinese Communist Party. Mr Morrison, who was in Tasmania yesterday, declined to make any further comment when asked about the issue. Two men have been found dead on a boat off central Queensland. Another vessel discovered the 6-metre catamaran drifting through water north of Yeppoon. Sergeant Sean Halson from Yeppoon Water Police says the area is known for being rocky.
What we do know is that the vessel has struck a submerged object. We're unable to determine which object it has struck. That area is characterised by lots of small rocky islands and lots of submerged objects.
A 46-year-old man has died after crashing his car into a tree in Adelaide's north. Police and emergency services were called to Jacaranda Drive in Craigmore about 3:30 yesterday afternoon. The driver of the Toyota sedan was treated by paramedics at the scene where he succumbed to his injuries. It brings the state's road toll to 81 compared to 52 at the same time last year. A man will face court charged with stabbing his neighbour on the New South Wales south coast. Police say a 49-year-old man was stabbed in the driveway of his unit at Batemans Bay. He was treated for stab wounds in hospital before being transported to Canberra for surgery. A 51-year-old has been arrested and charged. Tropical Storm Humberto was formally named as the weather system coalesced off the Bahamas and winds picked up speed. The archipelago is still recovering from massive damage from Hurricane Dorian, with more than 1,300 people still missing. Our US correspondent Priscilla Huff reports.
The last thing Abaco and Grand Bahama Island needs is another storm. Tropical Storm Humberto, with sustained winds of 40 miles an hour, is taking aim at the devastated islands. Humberto is nowhere near as strong as Dorian. Only 6 inches of rain is forecast and little to no storm surge to push waves up on the land. 15,000 remain without shelter after the previous storm, and Humberto will delay recovery efforts. The death toll in the Bahamas from the previous storm, Dorian, is expected to rise past the current number of 50. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
British police are investigating the theft of a solid gold, fully functioning toilet worth more than $1 million from Blenheim Palace. The BBC's John McManus has more.
The 18-carat, fully functioning gold toilet designed by Maurizio Catalan only opened to the public at Blenheim Palace 2 days ago as part of a wider installation of the artist's work. Visitors were encouraged not to spend too long using the facilities, which were installed close to the room where Winston Churchill was born. But overnight, police say that a group of offenders using at least 2 vehicles unplumbed the toilet and took it from the palace. A 66-year-old man has been arrested in connection with the incident.
And Russia's first floating nuclear power plant has arrived to its permanent base near an isolated Russian town across the Bering Strait from Alaska. This is Air News. The GWS Giants have secured an 83-80 win against the Brisbane Lions. The Giants will now take on Collingwood next week in a fight for an AFL Grand Final berth. Giants' Jeremy Cameron says the team is ready for the challenge.
We're on a bit of a high at the moment, but straight away we'll wake up, get straight back into it and do what we've been doing the last couple of weeks. You know, we've got a lot of confidence and the belief is starting to grow in this side.
Meantime, Lions coach Chris Fagan confirmed the retirement of star player Luke Hodge and says he will have a role at the club.
Yeah, Hodgie's finished as a player. He won't be lost to our club, but I can't tell you what his role would be at the moment because we haven't sorted out fully. But he's hung him up, the old fella.
In the NRL, Cronulla have suffered a season-ending loss in the elimination final against Manly. The side went down 28 points to 16. Earlier, the Canberra Raiders booked a spot in the preliminary finals after defeating Melbourne Storm 12-10. And the New Zealand Warriors have defeated the Sydney Roosters 16-12 in the NRL Women's season opener yesterday. Red Bull's Shane van Gisbergen has taken out race one at the Supercars Auckland Super Sprint. Series leader Scott McLaughlin is hoping for a victory today to eclipse Craig Lowndes' record of 16 wins set in 1996. And England is 8 for 313 at stumps on day 3 of the final Ashes test. The hosts have a lead of 382 runs. Australian Independent Radio News.
The very best of US racing 7 days a week.
Gunrunner's on top of the world! He wins the Breeders' Cup Classic!
live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
Your family deserves to be safe and secure at home. That's where Wideline Windows and Doors can help. Their secure line screens offer security without compromising on design or your view. And their safe line window screens are designed to prevent falls, keeping your youngest family members safe and sound. For security, safety and peace of mind, call Wideline Windows and Doors or visit their website at www.wideline.com.au.
I'm Michelle Payne. I'm a jockey. I'm available for track work.
She had a dream. It's not just about speed. It's about patience.
This girl's never going to win the Melbourne Cup.
To fulfil her destiny.
I want to ride Group 1s. I want to be the best.
You're not ready.
I'm ready, Dad.
From director Rachel Griffiths comes the inspirational true story of Michelle Payne.
Can I do this?
I don't know.
The horse
can.
Teresa Palmer, Sam Neill and Stevie Payne as himself. Ride Like a Girl in cinemas September 26.
On Sky Sports Radio, the traffic report.
The Clarendon Homes Raise the Roof promotion is in its final weeks. You can now get 31 upgrades for free. T's and C's apply. Details at clarendonhomes.com.au. The Sydney Running Festival has closed the Harbour Bridge and the Western Distributor, as well as other roads in Milsons Point, Pyrmont, the CBD, Darlinghurst and Moore Park. If you need to catch a plane, very slow into the International Terminal from both directions. And in Dulwich Hill, Marrickville Road out between New Canterbury Road and Durham Street for the Village Fair. Want front row seats to Sydney's New Year's Eve fireworks? Roads and Maritime Services have over 6,000 free tickets to New Year's Eve on the Carl. Visit rms.events/MYE. I'm Tim Govers, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
On the Big Sports Breakfast, Interstate Weather.
Weather today will start in Sydney. What a beautiful spring day it's going to be. 27 degrees, mostly sunny in the city, even warmer out west. Melbourne, top of 20 degrees with some showers increasing in Melbourne. Brisbane, hazy, sunny day, top of 26 degrees in Brisbane. We'll go over to Perth, partly cloudy, maximum of 23 today. Adelaide, possible late shower, but a top of 25 degrees. Hobart, possible late shower as well, top of 17. In Darwin, as it always is, beautiful sunny day, top of 32. And the nation's capital, Canberra, morning frost, partly cloudy, top of 21.
Had a fair bit of help as well. Georgia Hale, the skipper is in, and they're going to have a kick here to level things up, the Warriors.
Tight, that's where they go. He was flat there at first receiver. A ball juggled by Elliott. He came up with it, puts it down. Manly are in, and they're off to win two of the finals.
Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Second hour, and Zorba is up very shortly. We'll have a chat with Josh Parr after that ride on Bivouac. Finally get a decent jockey and the horse wins.
Oh,
Raymond, the way you look at me, you think I'm serious when I say that stuff, don't you? I'm not.
He came across live to the nation here.
You know? Huey Bowman's got a broken finger, so Josh picked up the ride and did very well.
He did.
It must be said. Event Cinemas quiz, you know the score now,
2016.
Raymond. Oh, there we go. A little mini break, I'd have to call it. Gerard Daffy very shortly. And we're going to continue to take your calls on 1353 53. We want your SMS as well, 0419 767 272, and of course you can get us on the tweets. If you want to send a tweet, you send it to Big Sports WEND. Big Sports WEND. Our talk topic for today, Raymond. By the way, congratulations to the Giants. Australia in trouble in this fifth test in the Ashes. Upsets last night in the NRL. The Raiders defeating the Storm in controversial circumstances. No such controversy at Lotto Land. Absolutely pumped the Sharks, 28 points to 16 by a dominant Sea Eagles side with Adam Fanua Blake and Daly Cherry Evans starring. And the Giants get home in that thriller against the Lions. And, of course, disappointment for Australia in the World Cup of Basketball, beaten by Spain in double
overtime.
Still a chance for bronze, though, tonight.
Yeah, that's
take on
right.
France.
That's right. Got to make mention of the fact that Paul Gallen has played his last game in the National Rugby League. What a warrior. 19 seasons in the NRL. A divisive figure, a polarising figure. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
But you know what he was? A wholehearted player who gave 110%, if you can say that, no such thing, but gave 110% every time went out on the football field.
And I can say this, Roman, absolutely beloved.
Oh, in the show.
In the show.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely
yeah.
beloved. There's no doubt about it. But up next, Zorba. Righto.
Zorba, break out the song, honey.
Hello, Zorba.
Good morning.
Morning, Pete. How good was that last night, mate?
Yeah, it was. It was a pretty special win. And surprisingly enough, I got a text from the old coach at about midnight. Simply to say, gutsy win, we live to fight another week. Mm. Doesn't say much, but says a lot in those few words for him to still be up and on a high. That was a great win. It just goes to show you that history books don't lie in rugby league, and they tell you the Sharks beat Manly in rugby league when the sun sets in the east. Six wins in 52 years, one win in nine finals game, that's 10 now. The Sharks are Manly's patsies. Des Hasler put a team on the park last night, off the park bench.
You wrote him off last week, Saul.
Yeah, hang on.
You wrote him off last week.
Last week you were wondering whether you had 17 fit players.
Well, we got them.
Oh, dear.
No, very, very good.
Sharks season over, and sadly for a great 20-year-old warrior, or 20-year warrior, Paul Gallen, his career's over. Gal struggled this year, really, and his exit at 38 is timely. I don't think he can play this game at that age. He spent a lot of time on the bench last night. He looked a spent force. Maybe it was the defeat that was unfolding in front of him. Maybe it was the fact that his great career had minutes to go. But he looked a spent force. I think it's time. He got in front of the cameras where he does pretty well and commentates. Are Manly making up the numbers? Well, you go tell that to their coach, captain in Daly Cherry Evans and the prop, Adam Fanua-Bake, after last night.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what, Zorb? You're exactly right. I looked at Paul Gallen last night and then I looked at the contributions of Braden Hamlin, Ueli and Jack Williams and those guys through the middle of the field. And I thought, yep, time. Time to call it a day. Hey, Raymond just made the point. Is it the Roosters' premiership to lose after that performance, especially in the first half on Friday night?
Well, they led 26-0 at half-time and they cruised to that 30-6 win over their arch-rival Souths at the SCG. And as the Premier showed, they really look good to go back-to-back. The week off will be used to good advantage by Coach Trent Robinson, who is a master at getting his side to peak at the right time. I know all the horses are getting ready. The real chances for the Melbourne Cup, so are the good teams in rugby league, and they are a good. They're a better than a good side. Souths to lift with Sam Burgess to return, but lift they must. They play Manly on Friday. That'll be a heck of a game. But the Roosters, I thought they were in cruise control in the second half. I don't think Wairia Hargraves has got any problems with that trip. Ooh. Late in the game, and they're going to be just about at full strength. Young Sam Verrills improves every game. They're not even missing their captain, Jake Friend, at the moment. That's how well he's fitted into the side. Yeah, they look good. After three games of the finals, really to sum them up, the Roosters are crowing and cruising. Souths appeared stewed and struggling for points. The Storm beaten in a close one. Yet again, and they're forced out of their comfort of home and on the road. Ricky's Raiders show some old-fashioned guts and glory. Well, as we've just spoken about, Desi's team come off the park to send the Sharks and Paul Gallen out of the race. It's a was a classic ambush at Lotto Land. Today, either Para or Brisbane drop out with a 4 p.m. kickoff in absolutely perfect conditions.
Yes.
And a full house at Bankwest. And I'm going to say today is Mitchell Moses' D-Day. It's time to deliver. Mitchell Moses is overdue to deliver on the big stage. Cooper Cronk on Friday. And DCE last night showed what the Gunners Sevens do in big matches, why they get the big money. They dominate, they guide their side around the field, and they dictate outcomes. I haven't seen Moses do that yet. Mm. He looks good. He's flashy, but in a tough finals game, can he lead them around the park? He gets a golden opportunity today. He and Dylan Brown up against the Broncos' makeshift halves of Jake Turpin and Darius Boyd, a hooker and a fullback. This is a gamble that I think will define the coaching of Anthony Seibold. He needs an upset win today because he's made some unbelievable selection decisions this season. There's players gone from the club that perhaps wouldn't have gone if he wasn't the coach. And he's up against a Parramatta side today that really have a great opportunity. Big pack of forwards, great wingers, inspiring captain at fullback. It'll be a heck of a game for the Broncos to cause an upset in.
Hey, Zorb, on that theme, Anthony Seibold, what's a pass mark for him? Because at the start of the season, I think most tipsters had the Broncos probably a top four chance.
It's not a pass mark for the Broncos any year.
Mm. What do you think, Jimmy?
Top four is a pass mark, and he hasn't achieved that by a long, long way. Mm.
It's funny, but remember the previous coach that used to be there last year, what's his name? Wayne Bennett, right. So he got them into the bottom half of the top eight and they were absolutely smashed first week of the finals by the Dragons.
In Brisbane.
So I think you're probably being a little bit harsh on Seibold at this stage. He could easily point to, hey, haven't quite got the side that I'm looking for just yet, but we are heading in the right direction.
I can answer that by saying if I was coach, Andrew McCulloch would not be the hooker. You need a running hooker. It's been evident all last year. He won't drop him. He won't drop Darius Boyd. He keeps picking players out of position. I think he's had his opportunity. If they get beaten today, then that's a miserable season for the Broncos. They haven't won a finals game outside of Brisbane for a long, long time.
No.
I mean, they're not the real deal anymore. They're not the side that everyone expects them to be each year. They have a rails run in Brisbane. They've got some terrific young forwards coming through, but in the big games, can they deliver as well? Mm. I'm not sure. I think Parramatta might clean them up today. Mm. I'm tipping Parramatta at the line. I'm tipping Sevo to score a try in both halves. And we've got 8-1 for our listeners on that today.
That is the Zapper.
I hope you're right, Zorb, just for the mood in my household. Hey, Zorb, you're talking about the real deal. Are the Raiders the real deal? They've done something I don't think very few teams have been able to do, and that's beat Melbourne twice in Melbourne in one season.
Well, I thought last night was a victory for the game. When it comes to football, Canberra slugged it out with a Storm. Who were restricted to one kick and catch try last night.
Mm.
Other than Pappenhausen at the back, the two wingers who were brilliant players, Cam Smith, who's the GOAT, Cam Munster, who is just sensational, but not in the type of form that we're used to for him, a few others. The Storm are now wrestlers in footy boots. I hope they dip out. I was there last night watching that game. I didn't care who won, but in the end, I was cheering hard for the Raiders, simply because they wanted to play football. I mean, the way that Melbourne peel off, it's boring, it's killing our game, and I lay the charges right at their feet. Max Krillich started it this year, South Sydney carried it on, and I think the criticism of the Melbourne Storm is starting to hit home. Mm. And I just think that the changes they've made to the game have dragged it down as a spectacle, in my opinion. And I hope they dip out.
All right, well, they're on the Roosters' side of the draw now. Mm. They've flipped over following that loss last night. They will have their next finals game down in Melbourne. And remember, the Raiders will play a preliminary final down there at GIO Stadium, which is exciting for them. One of the big things to come out of that match last night comes via this SMS. Morning, boys. The linesman at the Storm game was appalling. Have a lovely day, boys.
Yeah, well, you know, the Tufts judge, Michael Wise, we didn't know who he was until we had to look it up after the game. He was thrust into the spotlight last night. It did appear to be an error in dooming the Storm winger Vunivalu had gone into touch with his wrist.
Yeah.
2 minutes from full time, but they still had to score points and win the game. But he did appear to take the short kickoff and clearly stay in touch. But the referee, Ashley Klein, he had no option but to rule a scrum and feed to the Raiders, who hung on to win the match. What a crazy start and finish. The fireworks entry onto the ground had to be revised after the eye injury chaos to the Raiders centre, Joey Leilua. That was farcical and can't happen again. I mean, who cares about fireworks? Let's get on with the footy.
I just want to ask you quickly, Ryan Madison, all the noise coming out of the Tigers, there's something in Adrian Prezenko's column today, there's something in Buzz Rothfield's column today, and I'll read the one from Buzz about he's desperately wanting out, he's told officials he's not enjoying playing under Michael Maguire, his game's not improving under the coaching and support staff, he also wants more money. Apart from that, everything's okay. So I would have thought that Ryan Madison has doubled his value in the year that he's played under Michael Maguire.
Well, he's had a great season, and it doesn't surprise me with Madge. Players either love him or don't. And there were no tears for him when South ended the tenure. He did the job there, but they deemed his time was up. Can happen with coaches. Look at Penrith. Who would have believed in 12 months they'd lose Regal, Campbell, Gillard, Dylan, Watene, Delesniak, Wonga, Blake, James Maloney, all casualties of the 2019 return of Ivan Cleary. None of them improved under Cleary. None of them were Cleary appointments either. Yeah, no. And three of the four are local juniors. And, you know, Penrith boasts this local junior empire that they've got, and they win a lot of minor competitions, but they don't win many at the top. And they can poke their chest out at how big the area is and how many players they produce, but this has been a major disappointment for them with some major decisions made by those in power there.
Yeah.
And the spotlight's going to be on them right from the start. But Parramatta seem to be the benefit of all of this. They've got Blake. They've got Regan Campbell-Gillard now for 4 years. And it looks like they're going to get Madison. They get Madison, that's the icing on the cake.
Yeah,
I mean,
team.
They can win a premiership in the next couple of years, if not sooner.
Yeah, well, you've got them today, -5.5 into Mike Acevo, a try in both halves, and we've got $8 at the tab. You can find it under today's specials. Sports specials is there with Zorba Zappa, either on the website, tab.com.au, or indeed on the app. Good on you, Zorb. Enjoy your day, mate.
Oh, well, I can't enjoy it. It was a dumb decision to send England into bat, and now we're going to pay the price.
And not play Stark.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's madness. Yes.
All right, good on you, Zorb.
See you, boys.
See you,
there
Pete.
There is Peter Peters giving his thoughts in the world of rugby league. And indeed, if you want to have your thoughts on his thoughts, we're more than happy to go through that as well. Raymond, some breaking news. I teased it earlier.
Reveal, James, reveal.
Exciting times for Wingman Beer, everybody. On Friday, that was Friday afternoon, they launched their new mid-strength beer, built in regional New South Wales, and like their full-strength range, the beer is crisp, clean, and never bitter.
And we can endorse said product.
Said product, yes. Did said product arrive on your doorstep last night?
It did, thank you very much.
Said product arrived on my doorstep on Friday night. Said product is arriving at producer Steve's doorstep, Hamish's doorstep, Zorba.
Ron for Maury, he's waiting for his.
Be patient, Ron. Remember, you can test buy one today at the following bottle shops. Greystain Cellars. So, Greystain Cellars, Liquor Master at Warragamba, The Bottle-O at Wilberforce, any of the Jim Cellars outlets, Winehaven at Killarney Heights, and the Tarrant Point Hotel. So, geographically,
it's all over the place.
Got, very easily covered there. Yeah, by the way, a number of the owners of Wingman Beer are listeners to the programs. We'll have to get them to fill out a ratings book as well. And we've got to give a shout out today up there at Dungog. We've got the Hunter Polo Challenge. Second day of the Hunter Polo Challenge. They're all heading up there for the, I think it's the Wirragulla Polo Club. You heard of them, Ray?
I haven't, no.
Me neither. So anyway, but they're part of the Wingman Consortium, so we wish them all the best today. But there you go, Wingman Beer, the mid-strength. It's on now, 3.5, and you can get it at these outlets, Greystone Cellars, Liquor Masters at Warragamba, the Bottle-O at Wilberforce, Jim Cellars, Wine Haven at Killarney Heights, and the Tarrant Point Hotel, which is down my part of
there
the
you
so there
you
go.
Frequent
I was going to say
establishment.
I'll slip down there and get some, but I don't need to. They're in my fridge.
How good are you going?
Dynamic Syndications, Gay and Adrian proudly offer a quality yearling filly by Zoostar, the hottest young sire in Australia, champion first crop sire and now leading second crop sire. Our filly is from Moon to French, a stakes winner and Group 1 place to champion Mare Zenyatta. And our filly's had four siblings to race, all winners. Join our dynamic Gay and Adrian team in this fabulous filly at $12,885 per share. For info, visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360808.
Every 8 minutes, an Australian is diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. Being overweight and inactive significantly increases the risk of developing type 2 diabetes and other chronic conditions. Walking regularly is the best exercise because you can easily build it into your daily routine. So let's get walking every day. Friday the 4th of October is Diabetes Australia Walk to Work Day. Join the walking class and learn more at walk.com.au.
Sydney's newest must-see home renovation destination is now open. Wideline Windows and Doors state-of-the-art Liverpool showroom features an impressive range of residential, designer and architectural designs on display. Experience window shopping like never before. See how your home will look and feel with our stunning contemporary 310 square metre showroom, plus find solutions to improve energy efficiency, acoustics, privacy and security. Wideline Liverpool will bring your home renovation to life. Located at 12 Home Pride Avenue, Warwick Farm, open 6 days.
Stratum Star, the millions maker. A dual Group 1 winner from coast to coast.
Stratum Star raced up now to Jamaica. Juvenile starting to flash over the United States down on the inside. Stratum Star's hit the front, he's won it.
Stratum Star, by a Golden Slipper winner and champion sire of 2-year-olds. Standing at tremendous value this season.
But Stratum Star on the backup, he's too good.
Visit Widden.com.
And inside the final furlong, he's going to make it 5 out of 5. And a fifth St. Ledger for John Colson. A six for Frankie Dettori. Logician wins it from Sir Ron Priestley in second. A wonderful run by Naya Frode and Sir Dragonet.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. That was Logician winning the English St. Ledger overnight. Another Group 1 winner for Frankel and also, of course, for Frankie Dettori, his sixth English St. Ledger.
We've got an SMS in and they've said that, Ray, you would have seen off the new ball there at the Oval, wouldn't you?
Nicker and nudge.
You would have, though, wouldn't you?
A couple of nice...
By the way, that same contributor on SMS actually... We were talking during the week, and I was telling him about you set the alarm at 4:46.
Oh, here we go.
Because you don't like the odd numbers,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and he said there was a touch of Jack Russell about you, the English wicketkeeper.
The guy who's been painting every test match.
He has been, yeah. And I was telling you about some of his idiosyncrasies. So he wouldn't let anyone know where he lived. So if you wanted to visit his house, he would blindfold you.
No. Seriously.
True story. No, this
didn't
is,
he drink like 20 cups of tea a day or something?
Yeah, he did. It was in Gloucestershire. and he had an extension put on by the builders. And they had to do the same thing. They had to be blindfolded to go
Can't
there.
Can't be a true story.
It's a true story.
Jack Russell.
It's a true story.
Actually,
Jack Russell, very
good
different.
Play. Very,
very,
very good keeper. He had 100 against a rampant Australian and team in the, I think it was a 93 series. He played really well.
Anyway, you're our Jack Russell here, Ray.
Yeah, very good. That's going to stick you. You know that, don't you?
Good.
I hope Josh Parr wasn't listening. He's been good enough to join us this morning. He went on Bivouac yesterday. Josh, good morning. And if you forget that previous conversation, let's move on because Bivouac made a real statement yesterday. And obviously the wet track didn't help him at his previous start, but yesterday he showed he's right back into Golden Rose contention. Josh, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. It's spot on there, Ray. He certainly put his hand up and showed us what he is capable of and possibly showed us the form that he showed at Caulfield 2 starts back.
Did you ever ride on Bivouac before yesterday, Josh?
No, first time I sat on him.
Okay. Give us an insight into the horse then. I think I'm looking for the direct quote from you afterwards. Was it a bolt of lightning or about talking about the power and the speed of Bivouac?
Yeah, that's correct. I'm unsure of what my exact words were, but he
rocket ship.
He is,
rocket ship.
Yeah,
rocket
there ship. You go. Yeah. he's a real powerhouse, and the turn of foot that he showed yesterday was electrifying. And I was actually quite surprised when I first got on the horse, and just the amount of energy that he had. You know, he was burning a lot of energy pre-race and very excitable horse. We went to the start with the clerk of the course just to try and keep him as quiet as possible. I was pleased once we got behind the barrier that he had calmed down, and I think he realised that what job was it at hand.
Mm. Given he's a high-energy horse then, Josh, what about 1,400 metres in a Golden Rose when it looks like an exceptional bunch of three-year-old colts this year, and can he run a strong 1,400 against them?
Ray, the Golden Rose is often run at a strong speed,
yeah.
and I think that'll be beneficial for him because it'll allow him to relax, and when he relaxes like he did yesterday during the race, he shows a really good turn of foot. So I think he'll be okay.
Yeah, okay, the 1,400 there. Oh, my thought was that finally, Bivouac, nice to get a decent jockey on board and then the horse is able to relax. Did you feel the same, Josh?
100%.
You know what, Josh? They'll now go out in social media because that's what James does. He loves to in a pod. Hey, Josh, a couple of horses I wanted to ask you about. I know you're the regular rider of Castelvecchio, but because of circumstances, you had a prior booking for the Dulcifer yesterday. You rode Shadow Hero, who I thought was terrific, and your old mate finished right alongside you, Castelvecchio.
Both horses were really good, in my opinion, Ray. Shadow Hero's an inexperienced horse, but he has a lot of natural ability.
Yeah.
I thought he was good in tracking up through the field and then accelerating the last furlong of the race. He's got a lot of potential as the races get further. And as for Castelvecchio, I thought he was really good too because he was back in a similar position but was forced around the field, whereas I cut the corner on Shadow Hero, and he made a real strong dash the last bit and possibly tired just as we're getting down to the line, but both horses look promising for the spring.
Yeah. And both Shadow Hero and Castelvecchio, what would you make of the track, Josh? Because they were sort of out wide, where it seemed to be hard to make ground, but then you get a horse like Exceedance who came down the same part of the track where Shadow Hero came down, and he's gone a 32.59 last 600. So, what can you make of that track yesterday?
Yeah, the track was a typical Rose Hill 6 metre firm track.
Yeah,
and we see it time and time again, and often with that exact meeting, actually, when the rail's in that position, it becomes extremely hard to make up ground.
Mm.
And it played like that yesterday. Oh. I think if you found the first, if you raced in a forward position or found the rail, it was very advantageous. So I think that makes any horse that's made a run from the back of the field down the middle of the track really full of credit, full of merit.
So. Yeah. Hey, Josh, there was a quote from Darren Boodman afterwards saying just how important the barrier draw is going to be for the Golden Rose was his take on what transpired yesterday. I'm just wondering, an emerging jockey like yourself, to have someone like Darren Boodman, do you tap into his knowledge when you do get a ride for Godolphin?
Oh, whenever possible, yeah. I'm always picking Darren's brain. I always have. From the times we're sitting in the jockey's room together, to now that he's legging me aboard Godolphin Runners, he would have forgotten more than I probably know. So it's very advantageous for any jockey to be able to chat with him and just talk about things, and he's always willing to give his time, which is great.
Yeah, he just makes sense, doesn't he, Josh? When he explains things, he's fantastic, Daz. As you did today, Josh, terrific to have you on the show. We hope we can bother you a few more times during the spring carnival, and very best of luck going forward in the coming weeks, Josh.
Thanks very much, guys.
Thanks, Josh.
There he is, Josh Parra, winner yesterday on Bivouac. It was outstanding. Just wondering, when is Huey due back?
Yeah, should be back next Saturday to ride Osborne Bulls.
Okay.
Yeah. The point Josh made about the track, really well made point. Rail out 6 metres, Jimmy. 2 years ago, Deploy won this Theo Marks on the same day. Rail, I think, was in a similar position. Ran a course record time. Arcadia Queen was just 0.04 outside Deploy's course record time. And it is difficult for horses when the tracks are hard to make ground from out back when the rail's out 6 metres. So all those things come into play anyway.
Just keeping our eye on what's transpiring in the world of AFL. Is Toby Green in some trouble again? They may have found an incident here where he's over the face of a Brisbane Lions player. So he had the week from hell last week.
From doing the same thing, wasn't it?
Yes, from doing exactly the same thing. Fined $7,500.
And lucky to get off.
You would think. Did you see his response after the tribunal?
He just walked straight past everybody. Yeah.
Oh, no, he stopped and spoke to the media. I wrote down, I've never seen such insincere, contemptuous and comments with a lack of remorse as the ones Toby Green was able to make after coming out of that tribunal.
Look,
just incredible. But his coach Leon Cameron said, we want him to play that way. We want him to play that way.
He lives on the edge, that bloke.
1353 53 is the open line number. Warner shouldn't have played the last match, far less this one. The extra 60 to 80 runs would have been handy. I don't understand why they won't drop him. Another poor selection decision. That's from Scooter. Disagree with you, Scoot?
You think he should have
played? I'd have picked him.
Yeah. He hasn't got any runs, has he?
No. You'd have picked him, though?
Yeah.
I
must admit. But I can see where Scooter's coming from. And when you're averaging 9 and in the 5th test of a series, he's had a few chances, Warner, hasn't he?
Morning, gents. I heard an interview with a Brisbane journalist back in July who claimed Seibold had been given a directive from the Broncos board that he was not to drop Darius Boyd. Did you ever hear any of those stories, Neville, from Maitland? Funny you mention that, Neville, because when Zorba said that he didn't drop or he won't drop Darius Boyd, I wrote to Ray, can't drop Darius Boyd. What happens with Darius Boyd? And look, they're not done yet, the Brisbane Broncos, but what happens to Darius Boyd and his playing future over this off-season will be fascinating. 1353 53 is the open line number. G'day, Anthony.
Good morning.
Morning, Anthony.
First, top topic. Firstly, you're talking to one today, Peter Sterling.
Yes, agree with that. What a wasn't he? Remember at schoolboy football, Anthony? You old enough? He was just...
And actually, talk about Peter. That isn't my one name, but talk about Peter Sterling. Ask him if his career would have been different if he stayed at 5'8 until Johnny P got him to move to halfback.
Interesting.
Didn't he come into grade as a fullback?
Played his first game in a semi-final at fullback.
He played 5'8 for Fairfield for
Kids Club
in third grade at Parramatta or 20 degrees, whatever. Yeah. And then John Peard says, no, you're better suited to halfback.
Yeah. On your bomber.
He got that right, didn't he?
But my one is, when the Serie A in Italy was clearly the most dominant league in the world back in the day, check out the record of club side Napoli before Maradona arrived and after he left.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay. All right.
The league was all about AC Milan, Juventus, except for that little period where Maradona dominated everything.
Okay. Anthony, thank you. When does that documentary come out, Maradona? I've seen the trailer to it. It's just incredible. Must have been the day he signed with Napoli.
Okay.
The stadium was going berserk the day he signed.
Some say still the best ever.
Yeah, well, 1353-53, the open line number. Bob's on the line. G'day, Bob.
Morning, fellas. We've got a couple of ones. A good news racing story later.
Yeah.
First off, Cronulla. I think in the off-season, they've got some very serious recruitment situations to look at. Matt Moylan, over the last 2 years, probably paid 14 games. And he's on very big money. He has a chronic injury problem. And whether they can afford to carry him, I think Andrew Fafita's another one. And as great as he's been, he's costing him an awful lot of money, and he's sitting there, and Josh Dugan. Those three players are taking up about $2.5 million a year in their cap.
Yeah, a bit of noise about Moylan going back to Penrith. Have you heard that, Jim?
Oh, I reckon you can throw in Sean Johnson into that mix as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, there's another one. But on a good news story.
Yes.
On racing, if you get a chance to watch the replay of the last race at Seymour last Thursday week, my runner's horse won, a horse called Zushak. And at the 200 metres, there was a crowd, you know, a typical Seymour meeting, not a lot of people there, but there are over 100 owners of apples in the stand. And it sounded like the Melbourne Cup. The place erupted, and the horse came back and it won, but in the enclosure later, they walked all these people into the enclosure, and to see so many happy battlers with a good racehorse, it just brought racing alive.
Yeah, good call, Bob, because that's what Australian racing can boast. Syndications has made racing here so much more accessible for the public. You don't...
What, is syndications not in the UK,
not
in the
as
USA?
Widespread.
Is that right?
No way, nowhere near it, and limit the number of people that go in syndicates. So in Australia, you can, you know, it's much more accessible for the average Joe to get involved in racing. It's not just a rich man's sport, and you have a lot of fun.
Did I tell you I've launched into another horse?
Have you?
Well,
okay.
On behalf of the Punters Club, yeah. Kajito, that was just short of... It was
Peter
first
and Paul's name?
First emergency for Neville Boyle. First emergency for the Tab Highway, no one pulled out.
Oh, bad luck. Did you see Vetter on Wednesday?
They had Vetter go.
Oh, first up from the spell.
Yeah.
Led into the last stride, beaten and now in a photo finish.
What price?
So that's $6.
Right. When are we going to tell us that?
I didn't think you could win.
When are we going to tell us? Sunday at about 20 minutes to 9.
I didn't think you could win. I didn't want you to waste your money.
You're going to tell us Sunday at 20 minutes to 9.
He ran really well anyway.
Unbelievable. Yeah. 1353 53, that's the open line number, by the way. Call now if you want to be a part of the quiz. Your chance to win a double pass, courtesy of Event Cinemas. And Ray, you're... presently a lead, probably a mini break. You only need 6 more to be in an unassailable position.
We're getting to the back half of the year now,
we aren't
we?
We are, aren't we? Yeah, it's getting in. Yeah. And by the way, those...
What are we going for? Is it 4?
It's 4 cartons of beer. And by the way, those 2 that turned up on your doorstep...
If they don't count. And it was actually only 1, unless the bloke took the other one with him.
Is that right? Well, I got 2.
Captain of the ship, you.
1353 53, call now.
Hi, I'm Lane Beachley. When it comes to recycling, there aren't always easy answers. But when it comes to recycling printer cartridges, most Australians know what to do, thanks to Cartridges for Planet Ark. That's why we've already recycled 40 million cartridges, or enough to fill 80 Olympic swimming pools. To find your nearest cartridge collection box, or to order one for your workplace, search Cartridges for Planet Ark and get involved today.
This week at Kia, it's all about the number 7. Because during the Kia 7-day sale, private buyers receive a $777 bonus on top of already great driveway deals across the entire Kia range, including Cerato, Sportage and Sorento. Plus, every new Kia comes with Australia's best 7-year unlimited kilometre warranty. Hurry, Kia 7-day sale ends September 15. Warranty terms at kia.com.au.
The Big Sports Breakfast Grand Final Lunch is on again. Join your host TK and Loz in the Grand Ballroom at Royal Randwick Wednesday, October the 2nd. The fun kicks off at 12:30 when your Master of Ceremonies, Dave Stanley, welcomes you to enjoy a gourmet 3-course lunch, 5-hour beverage package, and to rub shoulders with royalty of the NRL and racing world. The midweek Randwick meeting will be in full swing, as will the Sky Racing Tipsters, who'll be doing their best to send you home a winner. Tickets $195 per person, available at AustralianTurfClub.com.
We all have our reasons for taking out life insurance. Yeah. Some are big and some much smaller. Either way, it's a great feeling knowing that with real life insurance, your family...
The reason this brand chose to advertise over the weekend was to reach thousands of people who were out and about just like you. And it worked. And radio advertising can help you reach your customers too. If you need results now, radio's never been more alive. Visit radioalive.com.au.
Always check the PDS issued by Hannover Life Re of Australasia Limited.
Are you thinking about a comeback, Kim? Yes.
Could I be a loving mom to my 3 kids and the best tennis player I can possibly be? Let's do this. Let's come back one more time.
See you in 2020.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
That was Aussie Kim Clijsters.
We're not being a claimer again, are we?
She comes back and has a win, we will.
Okay.
Yeah, most definitely.
Like fail episode.
But like the mums, you're at home with the kids and you think, surely there's better than this, isn't there? Get me out of here.
You can't say that.
Yes, you can.
How long has she been out of the game for?
Well, she's 36 years of age now. When did she retire? Is it 6 years? Yeah, there you go. So she spent 6 years at home with the kids and thought, surely... there's more to life than this.
Aren't you batching it for a while?
I am.
Gee, is that why you're so happy and such a good mood today? You even said hello when I walked in this morning.
She's gone to the USA with the kids, and it feels like I'm the one on holidays. But anyway, Metallica, celebrating the 20th anniversary of Metallica's groundbreaking S&M concert and album at Event Cinemas, 9th and 11th of October. Raymond, you like Metallica?
No, I must admit I don't know any Metallica songs.
Including Metallica classics from the night. I don't mind Enter Sandman, yeah, that's pretty good. 1999 S&M release, as well as symphonic versions of new songs.
There you go.
This theatrical release gives millions of fans the chance to experience the show as a modern-day big-screen concert. Oh,
now that'd be good.
That is good. Mm. Head on over to eventcinemas.com.au to grab your tickets now. Prakash, from what we understand, massive
climbing
Metallica.
Up the corporate ladder. Fantastic. Coin toss time.
Okay, here we go.
Important. Let's good go. Radio. This good
who's
radio.
Calling? Your call. It's okay. Your call.
Tails. Heads it is, James.
Head. You know what? You know what?
You know what? This is a hard decision for you. Know,
Ray,
James?
Why don't you be player one?
Funny you would say that. Okay. I think we've got Adrian on the line. Adrian, good morning.
G'day, legend. How are you?
Yeah, terrific. Where are you from? Near Dubbo, are you, mate? Or?
No, we're out of Bathurst, mate.
Bathurst. You're not going to races ring today, mate? Or?
Nah, yeah. Mate. Very quiet.
We're praying for some rain out west, mate, for you, as we know how dry it is. Here we go, Adrian. Question number one. Which sporting event will be held at number one, Melaleuca Drive, Boondall, this afternoon? Which sporting event will be held at 1 Melaleuca Drive, Boondall, this afternoon?
Oh, jeez. I've got no idea.
It's a tough one, yeah.
Bad luck.
Adrian, it's the Super Netball Grand Final.
Yeah. Go to Swift.
Anyway,
yeah, right.
Here we go, here we go. We'll get back on track here, Adrian.
Yeah.
Okay, question number two. Seriously, look at that. Where was the Roosters' Luke Keary born? It's multiple choice, Adrian. A, Ingleside. B, Inverness. C, Ipswich.
He's Ipswich boy, mate.
Yeah, he's a Queensland,
he's an
Ipswich
boy.
Right?
See, yeah, yeah.
And question number three, Adrian, we're on the board now. Who scored the most points during the 2019 NRL regular season? It's multiple choice, Adrian. A, Jared Croker. B, Latrell Mitchell. C, Cameron Smith.
Latrell Mitchell.
Yeah, spot on. Well
gee
done, Adrian.
Whiz. I must
good,
say,
oh,
just
good comeback
the
there.
Questions in player two. Player one, much easier. But anyway.
You chose
number two.
I know.
Two. I'm not blaming anyone other than myself.
Okay, that's good. That's a rarity. That's a rarity.
Hello, Peter.
Hey, mate, how are you going?
Really well, really well. I think we can do this today. I'm very confident. Question one.
Good. Me too.
Good work. Which sporting event will be held at 69 Fuxing Road, Beijing, this evening? 69 Fuxing Road, Beijing, this evening.
Oh, is this a sick joke? Is this a real question?
No, it's a real question. Which sporting event is going to be held at 69 Fuxing Road, Beijing, this evening?
Fuxing.
Beijing.
Better give us an answer quickly. FIBA Basketball World Cup Final.
That's okay. You're still in the game, Pete. Game.
Mate, he doesn't care, Pete. Question two. Where was Manly's Daly Cherry Evans born? Was he born at A, Redcliffe, B, Richmond, or C, Rockhampton? What was that?
Redcliffe.
Yeah, nice.
Good comeback.
Question three. Which team made the most tackles during the 2019 NRL regular season? Was it A, Tigers, B, Bulldogs, C, Dragons?
Oh, I read this the other day. Bulldogs.
Well, just reminds me about that Mark Twain comment. If you don't read the newspaper, you're uninformed. And if you do read the newspaper, you're misinformed.
Don't say that.
So, no, it's the Dragons.
It doesn't matter.
Fair.
Well, Adrian, you there?
Yeah, boys.
Yeah, well done, mate. You've got up. Mate, is there a...
Happy days.
Yeah.
Quick one.
Yeah?
Quick one. Jimmy, you still owe me a carton of Wingman beer from the last time I won the trip, brother.
Oh, there we go.
I think my carton must be in your fridge.
How long ago was it, Adrian?
You didn't get
mate,
two.
6 months.
Six months. All right.
Yeah.
Well, stay on the line. We'll get your details. And by the way, they tasted fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, I did cut off too.
Poor guy got cut off.
Yeah, so there you go. Adrian, another customer that we will make sure that they get their Wingman beer. By the way, we've got the 3.5 now that the Wingman can hand out as well. So, Ipswich. No. Ipswich, Queensland. Yeah, Ipswich and Queensland. Oh, now there's some controversy with the quiz.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Adrian said Ipswich. That's all you wanted, a town.
This, ladies and gentlemen, if you thought it was a rort previously,
the fix is in.
The fix is in. Jared Daffy's online. Jared, could you give us a market of Ray winning the quiz for season 2019? I'd much be... you've almost shut the market on it, haven't you?
Well, he was short before, but just due to that rather controversial question there before, he shortened up even further.
Jared, don't fall into what Jimmy does.
He's not falling into it. He misconstrues everything
when it comes to the quiz,
technically,
mate.
It was right. It is Ipswich.
Exactly.
It's just in another country.
So is it Ipswich, UK, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Ipswich, Queensland.
Now?
There we go.
Actually... On Radio Tab on Monday mornings, probably one of the most popular segments we have every week is people send in their winners and losers for the week.
Mm-hmm.
I've got one tomorrow that's going to go straight to the top of the queue. It's a group, the Smith family. They've gone on an overseas family holiday and they've brushed you. Winners.
Winners.
Well, who has a family holiday and leaves the father at home? Nobody.
Well, Jimmy reckons he's a winner, Jerry, which is a little bit concerning.
He's just saying that. And what about the feigned laughter there? Like he's not hurt.
Dad, can you stay at home when we're on holidays?
Oh, yeah, we want to have a good time.
Yeah, right. Fair enough. Hey, can I just say, I've just gone to the Wikipedia, and you might be right there, by the way, Jared. I've just gone to the Wikipedia page. It says Ipswich, Queensland, Australia, Luke Keary.
It does too.
Yeah. What on earth is going on here?
All that matters
is... joint's a schmozzle.
You asked where he was born, Adrian said Ipswich, so case closed. Doesn't matter.
Look at you. Everyone says, oh, Ray's the nicest person of all time. It's you're kidding.
Everybody's probably right. But and the same, everybody says, gee, that Jimmy Smith's a narc.
Yeah, I hope you pull him up when you hear that, do you, Jared?
Not very often.
That's what I would say.
I'm inclined to agree.
Yeah, that's what I say to people. Look at... those people who say those things about you, I'm going to disagree with them next time rather than nod knowingly. Jared, the NRL's got our final game of the first week of the semi-finals. How's things up there in old Brisbane town? I'm prepared to say Seibold makes the eight, gets a pass mark. What about you?
Probably. It appears so he's got a few of the media a bit offside. And I don't know in a small little village like this that you can do that. But all will be forgiven if they win today. And you can't rule them out. They're $2.65 outsiders and $1.50 Parramatta. But after what we saw yesterday, who knows? Mm. Or last night, who knows what will happen here. We've got next week's game up as well. South $1.45, Manly at $2.75. The line opens at 6.5 points. And quite clearly, in the AFL and the NRL, 1v2 at the end of the season proper can't meet each other in the final, in the grand final. Brisbane Lions are gone. And Roosters and Melbourne are on one side of the draw. So Roosters 2.10, Canberra into second favourites now at $4.25.
Wow.
Melbourne 5, South 10, Manly 26, Para 29, and the Broncos are 67. So
67, yeah.
Looking at those premiership prices, it would seem to suggest that Roosters v Melbourne, they'll be short the Roosters.
Not surprisingly.
I would think that Manly have a better chance of winning this competition than South Sydney.
Really?
Yeah, I couldn't argue with that. I think I'd much prefer to be on them at the 2.75 next week from what we saw last night.
Absolutely.
Hey, Jared, did you go to the Gabba last night?
No, I don't like crowds, Ray.
Fair enough, yeah.
No, did you watch on TV.
What a coincidence. Crowds don't like you.
Mate,
you're right, I shouldn't do that.
And they shot themselves in the foot again, didn't they, Ray?
They should have won the Lions,
And I know it's easy to grizzle about umpires, but not a lot went right for them. But those first 5 points in the last quarter, any one of those could have been goals and it could have been a different result. But
Phil Davis and Nick Haynes, intercept marking at the back there.
Yeah, that was sensational.
Incredible.
They exceeded what everybody thought this year, the Lions. It's all good for them going forward. You'd think the GWS has some hope against
Collingwood
next week. Actually, we've got both of those games up.
Mm-hmm.
Richmond on Friday night at $1.40. Geelong at $3. 17.5 line. Obviously, Tommy Hawkins is out of that game. And some talk about Toby Green again.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet, but $2.60 the Giants, $1.50 Collingwood, and a line there of 12.5 points. So you couldn't rule them out. And to win the flag, Richmond $2.30, Collingwood $3.25, Geelong's 5 and Giants still the outsiders at 6.50.
Mate, I might be putting you on the spot a little bit. What would Geelong and the Richmond price be if Tomahawk could play?
They'd be a little bit shorter, so maybe Tyke's about 275, 260, something like
okay.
that.
Yeah. Okay,
Richmond are a very popular side, and Geelong's form has been scratchy. I know they won the other night, but Richmond will still be favourite. They're still very popular side.
Hey, we're in all sorts in the cricket in the fifth test, mate.
Are we what? Mm. The headlines are now, at least we retain the Ashes. But, yeah, I don't
Why
know
didn't
about
Stark it. Play? Any idea, Jared? It's just... It's complete mystery to me.
No one can answer that.
Bizarre.
So I guess it looks like they're going to lead by, what, 420, 410, yeah. 420 at least, and they're just going to have to break every record known to mankind.
Yeah.
So England are $1.14. We've got a draw there at 41. Well, Litmus will be infinity. And Australia at 650. So we're going to need some heroics from Steve Smith, but we're going to need some from a few of the others as well.
It was interesting speaking to Eddie Cowan during the course of this week. Oh, it might have been last week, actually. And he talked about Mitch Stark, and you say, oh, well, the oval's dry, but that's when he would reverse it.
Yeah.
So he's the best reverse bowler in the world, anyway.
Well, Jimmy, too many people that know were stunned that he was left out.
It's a bizarre decision.
Yeah. It's not like it was a 50-50. Everybody said, why isn't he in there?
Yeah. And when you play Mitch Marsh as your fourth seamer, surely Stark has to be there.
Yeah.
That made no sense.
Yeah, what about Mitch Marsh? Hasn't he come from the clouds? He's the most popular sportsman in Australia now.
He is now, yeah.
You know what? I loved his comments after
Fantastic.
The first
Yeah, they were terrific.
Yeah.
But I said to somebody yesterday, I don't recall ever seeing him being interviewed. In fact, if he walked through the front door, I don't know whether I'd even know who he was.
That's a good point, actually.
But he's turned it all around, and good on him.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he was probably right.
Yeah, he was. You should have seen the text message flying in when it was confirmed that he was going to play in this test match.
I can imagine.
Oh. Nolene Tarua is a superstar. She's the coach of the Sunshine Coast Lightning, and they've got that big grand final. I want the Swifts to win, but I think it's a tough one for them, Jared.
Well, it is, because you've only got to go back 2 weeks ago and the Sunshine Coast beat the Swifts by 10. So it's going to require a big turnaround. Of course, they are going for a three-peat, so they know what's required to win it. They're short at $1.38, the Swifts at $3. Got a line there of 4.5 goals. Plenty of bet types open on that one as well.
And, Jared, it's almost a case of what might have been for the Boomers if Paddy Mills had sunk that free throw in regulation.
Well, the irony of course is, Ray, that we probably should be in the gold medal. Yeah. We've never won a medal at any of these, and the betting suggests that perhaps we still might not win, because we take on France tonight in the playoff for third, and we are the outsiders.
France beat America,
Yeah, they did. But then they were beaten by Argentina. Australia 2.10, $1.74 France. That's the 6 o'clock game, and then the gold medal game is on at 10 o'clock tonight. Spain short, $1.55, Argentina $2.45, and we'll bet 55 or 60 markets open on both of those games as well.
Didn't we beat France a couple of days ago?
We did.
Yeah.
There you go.
Good research, Jimmy.
It's one thing we pride ourselves on here, Jared.
Yeah, clearly.
I'm not sure what it is, but anyway, I'm sure there's one thing we pride ourselves on here, Jared. Well done, Jared. You know, you've surprised a lot of people. That was an acceptable
a lot of
segment
people.
There.
Well, what does that mean?
What does it mean? Where are you going to with this?
Nowhere fast, because you've got the news coming. Thank you, Jared. We'll speak next week.
See you, boys.
See you, Jared.
Jared Daffy from...